The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
We're going to skate to one song only. Lady Hump by the Black Eyed Peas. What you going to do with all that junk inside my trunk? I'm going to get you drunk off my lady hump, my hump, my hump, my lovely lady hump.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
It's over. All the endorsements, everything gone. Oh my God, I can't get a real job. It'll kill me.
Paul Perillo.
Is that your routine or a performance of Cirque du Soleil? Besides, you're too late. They already handed out the girls' medals this morning.
And Andy. And Andy?
You an official here? Because you have officially given me a boner.
Andy Hart.
Ah! Nutsack!
Hey! You gotta be careful, man. Unlike you, I actually use these things.
Hey, look, I didn't mean to drag your balls into the discussion. That was uncalled for. They're fine. I overreacted.
Eric Scalavino.
So how'd it go with your lady? Carve up any ice? With your wiener?
For now, anyway.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Did you just say mind-boggling?
Yeah, mind-boggling. You know, when things are so crazy, it gets your thoughts all trapped like in a bottle.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
From here on out, you guys are a team. Do you understand? You are going to eat together, sleep together. You are going to pee together. You're going to file a joint income tax return. Practice starts now.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang is all here. It's snowing out at Gillette Stadium. We're supposed to get, I don't know, depending on where you are, anywhere from 2 inches to 20 inches. So who knows? But we're here. The show must go on, and we'll be here until 2 o'clock talking everything Patriots and pretty much everything else. Well, there's a lot of NFL news, some indirectly and some directly, having to do with the Patriots, the Mike Lombardi stuff that came out late yesterday and this morning. The Josh McDaniels remnants from Cleveland.
BS.
We'll talk about what you think. Richie Incognito and Jonathan Martin stuff is still out there. Of course, the Michael Sam stuff is still being talked about out there. So that and anything else that you want to talk about, we can do for the next 2 hours. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. 855-PATS-500. So, guys, what's on the top of your minds?
The BS McDaniels reports.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think that's just spin coming out of Cleveland. Well, it's a Mary Kay Cabot report. Mm-hmm.
Let's lay out the reports first. I was about to. And then you tell us which ones you think are BS.
There are multiples. Because the one I read was Mary Kay Cabot, and the report was that Josh McDaniels was a candidate till the very end. He wanted the job. He called back after he pulled his name out, and they went with Petten. He was one of the finalists. I don't buy it. I just don't buy it.
Well, one of the things I don't buy about it, and we talked about it in the Q's
timing
this morning.
Would be one.
Well, that is one. The other thing is, it said that Bill Belichick, called a couple of times and was really gung ho about Josh McDaniels. Well, he supposedly also did the same thing for Greg Schiano.
Right.
You're telling me the same head coach was calling the same organization about two different people for the same job?
Right. Stupid.
I mean, who does that?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
because it would leave me, if I'm the Browns and I get the call from Bill, if I get the call from Bill Belichick two different times for two different people, my first question to him is, well, who do you really want coaching this?
Who are you recommending?
Who are you recommending to us?
So if either one of those guys, McDaniels, I mean, because I think you're right, but I think you might be reading a little bit too much into it. If either one of those guys said, hey, one of my references is Bill Belichick, and they check with Bill. Bill could easily say, yeah, either one of these guys would be good.
If the Browns call him.
Right.
But the report says that Bill called the Browns several times.
I'm with Fred. I don't really have a big problem with that. You can't strongly recommend two different people?
I think it's a little weird.
Who do you recommend after Jeff Howe?
Maybe I didn't have another guy.
He gave up after that.
I do think it's a little weird.
I hit with my first pick. I didn't need another one.
Hit.
But if Andy Hart and Jeff Howell were going on, I would have called up and I would have said, Andy Hart would make a great candidate.
Yeah,
well, yeah, but Jeff Howard would be pick? Jeff, Eric. Eric,
and I'm sure he had one that he had over the other.
No, but now that's a news story. No,
but he recommended
Eric,
both of them. I don't have any problem with
if
that.
If Bill reached out first, then it's weird.
Oh, I think Bill did reach out first.
I don't think he did. I don't think he would reach out first for both guys.
That's what the reports are saying. Though.
I know, but I don't.
That's why I don't.
Because it's
why
BS.
Coming out from
right where I started.
That's why I'm not buying the reports. Is what I'm saying.
It's BS.
It's all crap. To me, not having any idea what happened, but doing what we do here on PFW in Progress.
We smell things.
Right. My guess is that he called on Shiano's behalf to try to help him get a job. He was out of work.
Mm. Is out of work, right?
Still. The contact from McDaniels was probably in reference, maybe coming from the other way, where they want more information on McDaniels and they call
Belichick. Which is
fine. And he strongly recommends them both. I don't have any problem with him recommending more than one person. I don't.
I would if I were the Browns. I need a recommendation.
Yeah. Well, maybe they
pick
did
one.
That.
Yeah. You're Mr. Genius football guy. Andy, give me a recommendation.
But you don't think it's plausible that they did say, okay, I understand you think they both, which one would you go with?
I think most plausible
and
is
he probably
timing,
gave him an answer.
Is timing. You know, maybe Shiano was a candidate earlier and
then he's
either
out.
He wasn't interested or they just flat out weren't interested in him. And then Bill said, well, I'll tell you, I also really think Josh is
the other way around. Maybe McDaniels pulled his name out,
right,
and then he said, you know what, Shiano, if that didn't work out, Shiano would be a good pick.
I think Lombardi has a good enough relationship with Belichick where he asked him about both guys.
Well, if you believe Lombardi, he certainly does.
I mean,
Lombardi, when he used to go on Dennis and Callahan, made it sound like Bill called him every week and asked him about the game plan for
right.
that week. That's how he made it sound. I don't know whether, you know, that's half true, 50% true, which would be the same thing, 75% true, whatever, but that's how he made it out to be.
Right.
Well, that's the thing. I wouldn't bat an eye if I heard that the Browns called Bill twice
right.
for two different people.
Especially if it's
that
Mike
makes
Lombardi.
Complete sense. Especially
like,
if it's Mike Lombardi.
I mean,
but for Bill to call separately, which the reports are making it sound like, Bill calling separately for two different guys.
Yeah, that's
to
weird.
Me. It's
to
me.
That's why I don't
think
it happened.
Just
it reminds me years ago there was this whole thing about Bill Parcells called Bill Walsh about advice about young quarterbacks. And then it turned out to the who called who. You know, Parcells said, no, he called me. And then Walsh said, no, he called me. It's like this big thing about who initiated it. You know, it was a big deal for both guys.
Are the egos just out of control in the NFL. God forbid I called him. God forbid I was trying to get information or whatever.
Yeah.
I got to be honest with you. Me. If I'm a fan or maybe even more importantly, if I were an owner and I was heavily involved, invested – I would like to have my coach calling people and always trying to learn, never thinking he has all the answers.
And Bill apparently does.
Oh,
Bill
Belichick,
talks
I think
to a lot of people.
I think Belichick is very open.
He
to
doesn't
that.
Tell.
Yes.
Well, he's not open with who it is.
No.
Right.
I say he's
those,
open.
Those conversations right. between
I
me.
I said
and
he's
and
open to talk. I mean, right. we've heard Urban Meyer. We've heard, even the Shiano thing. You know, he's very open to learning different things.
John
Chip
Fox,
Chip Kelly, the Chip Kelly thing. Now that
he's
wouldn't figure to be. Really his style, you know, this whole up-tempo, no huddle kind of stuff. I want my coaches to be doing, even if I think I have the best coach, I always want him to think he can get better.
And oh, by the way, it may not be a coincidence that he does that and he's had the longest tenure. I mean, it helps that he has Brady and they're successful, but over a 14-year period, maybe he's sort of evolving because he picks the brains of everybody and trends and different things.
You never
things.
Know when you're going to learn something.
Right.
Where, I mean, like, or, even a guy who's not overly successful might have some elements of what he's trying to do.
Right.
And since he's got no veteran assistants on his staff, he has to go outside the organization to learn something.
I think the bottom line.
Look at him. He's even willing to go to the South Dakota School of Mines.
In the bottom line in Cleveland, I mean, if you're Petten, I think
Josh.
You're wondering, does anyone
you,
really
Josh.
Want me
I really
that's
do.
Left here?
Good guy.
You know?
Right. Well, but that's what I think this is about. Yeah. I think this was about. No. McDaniels was a finalist. He wanted the job really badly. We picked Petten. Petten is our guy. I think that's what this is all about.
Right.
Is trying to, cause I said, I mean, it's been a debacle for 2 weeks.
Me.
I think this was a Petten fluff.
Yeah. One thing I want to read, this just came in and it's a criticism, but I want to throw it out there to see if you guys agree with it. It's from a guy named Joe. He says, the disrespect that Patriots.com treated Dante Scarnecchia's last interview by breaking it into 2 minute segments because of their postseason laziness is unconscionable. Whoever made that decision should be fired. What you didn't want anyone to actually see the thing in its entirety, so let's just split this thing into a bunch of parts so we don't have to work too hard for the next couple of weeks and we'll have some content. The guy was there 30 years. His final interview deserved to be treated with respect and should have been broadcast in its entirety, not as a cover-up for laziness. So someone that rarely visits Patriots.com but did to read or watch something about Dante Scarnecchia leaving gets part one only. You guys didn't honor him. If anything, you disrespected him. What do you think about that?
I think it's a little ridiculous.
That's the exact word I would use.
Just to attack the part about the laziness, it takes a lot.
So ridiculous.
It takes a lot more work to break it up into several parts. Well, yeah. The easy thing to do was to load it all up at once.
Well,
let the camera run, play the interview, and put it on the website. That's the easiest thing to do, and then it's played in its entirety.
But his point is, by breaking it up, now you've got content in a longer period of time.
Not laziness.
Well,
more work. It made more work for the people that did that to break it up into different parts.
He's saying you didn't have to come up with content for 3 other days.
That's what he's saying.
That's working smarter, not harder.
Right.
He said we were lazy doing
it
the way we did it.
You wanted to turn what really is one story into four and make it last 4 days.
Right.
Which, by the way, is common in all walks of life and interviews and media and shows.
I was looking at part four the other day, and it did come to mind. The reason why I didn't want to just throw Joe's criticism out, you know.
I don't want to either.
After I read.
Just that one part of it.
After I watched part four, I said, you know, we probably should make it also available in its entirety. Also,
sure,
you know,
yeah. But and I don't want to dismiss the criticism.
It's also a tease. It's also the way the media industry works. If you have a good piece of content, you break it up to get more hits, to get more out of it, to get more likes.
And I will say this: it was Joe.
Yeah,
I actually agree with Joe because I don't think this is one of those things that we should have gone for the more hits.
Right, and that
I don't
way,
think that should have been a consideration.
Right,
I think we should have done it all at once. Now, where I disagree with Joe is it wasn't done in parts to make it easier for us.
Right.
Because making it in parts was harder, and I say us, it was Crass Sports Production.
I didn't know Paul
knew
how to edit video.
It was Patriots Today that did it.
Right.
That was not a PFW enterprise. Eric did that, and we wrote it in the Eric also was a part of that interview, and we wrote the story in the paper.
Right.
We didn't break it up into parts.
And unfortunately, by the way, I got an email from Dante's wife. She wanted extra copies of that.
Nice.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But inadvertently, do you think it was disrespectful?
Not
intentionally?
No, not at all. Definitely not intentional.
No.
Oh, I know it wasn't intentional, but do you think in a way we could have disrespected him by breaking it into parts? I don't think it was disrespectful in any way. Okay.
Matter of fact, I think that there's few guys that we would have thought enough of to put four different parts of an
interview. Exactly. It's just the opposite.
I'm
still looking for the Pepper Johnson four-parter.
Right. Well, it's on
Bills.com or whatever.
Right. If we had done,
talking about his displeasure and getting out of the shadow.
Well, let's just say, for argument's sake, that radio interview that Pepper Johnson did, that you brought it up, it's sort of a good analogy. If we had gotten that, if he had sat down and talked to us, we wouldn't have broken that up into four parts.
No, we would have just
let that run and put it up there because I don't think, no disrespect intended to Pepper, he hasn't had the 30-year career of distinguished service to the Patriots that Dante had.
And Dante
deserved more than a one-time hit.
And I understand what Joe's saying, but I think, to your point, Paul, we thought that there's very few people that would have the fans' attention span for four parts.
Right.
You know, because
you're talking Belichick,
right?
You're talking Brady,
right?
You're talking a Kraft. You know, if Brady. Robert Kraft decides to sort of step down and no longer, you know, there's not that many people that deserve, you know, a week long treatment.
But I understand where he's coming
from.
I
do too. And that's why I said I don't want to dismiss the criticism.
Yeah, and I was thinking to myself after, you know, we should also probably put this up in its entirety as well.
There have also been,
you know, down the road, you don't want to have someone searching four times to see the whole thing.
Sure.
You
know? There have also been, I think you can attest to this, Fred, studies of viewership, readership on websites, and the maximum amount or the ideal amount of time that you want a video online to last.
Right.
And our interview lasted a half an hour with Dante between Jackie and my interviewing him. You file size, putting a 30-minute interview in its entirety, unedited, up on the web, is just not, it's just not feasible.
Well, I mean, it's okay. I think
we
do PFW TV on there. People watch it. This is 2 hours.
We do, but PFW TV is also edited, and it is broken into segments.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
So my point is, when you go to a website to watch a video, generally people are going on a website to watch a video, and they're expecting to sit there for a couple of minutes at the most.
Right.
Most people aren't going on the website, especially like if they're at work
or,
you know, taking a break at lunchtime or whatever. They don't have that time to invest. So it behooves us to do them a favor by breaking it into smaller parts so that they can digest it.
It's sort of part of the job.
Yeah.
Like, Bill Cowher sat down and talked to Bill Belichick before the playoffs, right? That was during the bye week, Andy? Was that not? Or
yeah.
Or was it before the Denver game? Before the Colts game?
I think it was before the Colts game.
I think it was before. I thought it was the bye week too. I think it was before the Colts game.
Yeah, those good buddies who haven't talked in 14 years.
CBS didn't just run that unedited.
Right.
They chopped it up. They put the questions that they thought were relevant and they packaged it. Because you don't just run, you know, that's sloppy. You don't just run a full interview. It's not disrespectful to Bill Belichick. You know, you think Bill's sitting there saying, you know, I had that funny little line that I said about, you know.
Right. I doubt it.
Creating football. And they didn't run it.
Nope. Yeah, no, so I...
So I don't... I would take issue with the laziness and the disrespect, but I do get his point about, you know, if we were trying to, like, spread it out for more content, I don't think we should have done that.
Right.
Yeah, that doesn't bother me.
Doesn't bother me.
I think we've, as a group, Patriots.com, have been... as overly respectful of Dante Scarnecchia as anybody for years. We have been patting his back, quote unquote, forever.
Besides, it's the off season. We don't have opportunities like this very often. You have to maximize the opportunities you get like that to spread things out.
Speaking of the whole thing, I don't know if you guys watched a lot of it, and you know, obviously we read the stuff that Eric wrote, but I thought really interesting the story about him going to Green Bay.
Yeah.
When Bill came here.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. No, I didn't either.
Did you know that, Andy?
What?
You're as tight with Dante as anybody.
What?
He was interviewing in Green Bay
when Belichick took over.
I think I had heard that.
I hadn't heard that. Did not know it.
Yeah.
Maybe everybody else did. I just forgot.
Bill gave him a call and said, you know, don't give him an answer.
Don't leave until I get a chance to talk to you before you decide.
Of course I could be confusing Teddy Bruschi. Didn't he go to
Green
Bay?
Oh, Bruschi definitely went to Green Bay.
I don't know. You know my head.
Bruschi visited Green Bay, and then he decided to stay with the Patriots. That's accurate. I had heard that story.
And then going back to the Browns and Lombardi, the other story that came out is that there are reports out there that Lombardi is joining the Patriots staff.
Sort of limited reports, by the way.
Yeah.
It was one Cleveland radio station, and then a guy from any pay draft Patriots scout or whatever website here locally, and then it kind of got ramped up a little with Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, this morning, said there have been some discussions. By no means has anything been hammered out. So it's still...
Sounds like Ian saw that and then kind of
followed up. Yeah. But there were... I think the reports got a little bit ahead of the facts.
It probably makes sense, given their relationship.
Sure.
So it could have started as speculation.
Or maybe they just had one of these calls where they talk all the time about everybody.
Exactly.
When did Floyd Reese leave?
Before last year.
Yeah.
So he's been gone for the last two seasons or just one?
Just one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was wondering, you know, if Lombardi was interested before, but he wouldn't have been because he was getting the GM job, which is a higher job than anything he would be coming
I tell
here.
You, I think this is another case of they can get a guy that they don't have to pay.
Well, I think
money
that.
Comes into it,
explain
and he's going to be paid to be the GM of the Browns for, I don't know what his contract was, 3 years, let's say. So he's got another 2 years remaining at $800,000 or $1 million a year.
Which the Browns have to pick up.
Right, and the Patriots can pay him nothing. I don't know what the rules are. I'm sure there's a little something, but say you're paying him $30,000 or $50,000. Well, that gets subtracted from what the Browns owe him. They have to pay him the rest, and you get an experienced NFL consultant for very minimal money.
That could have... be what happened.
I think there's a chance Brian Daboll was on that same track as an offensive coordinator who's here as a nobody.
It could have been Dom Capers was on that same deal, you know, when he came here.
I don't know if Dom Capers had been coming. I don't know if he'd been coming off the same thing. He might have been. Was that
he had been fired?
Had he left Houston? Is that
no, he was on TV.
Was he?
Capers
he was on
was?
ESPN. Oh, no. I'm thinking about Floyd Reese.
No, Dom Capers.
Yeah, I don't know about Dom Capers.
But anyway, that's plausible.
Capers
what
may
you're
have been
saying.
Fired.
It could be like, hey, we're getting an experienced guy for little to nothing. Come on over.
Right. Yeah. And like Daboll did, there was the potential, or now we know that they knew there was going to be an opening on the staff. Dante was, you know, there was going to be some changes. And Nick Caserio just interviewed with the Dolphins. And depending on who you believe, he was interested, wasn't interested. What if Nick Caserio leaves next year? Now you have a guy in Lombardi who maybe can sort of lead that department, who's been here for a year.
Bench depth.
And then when you pay him, you'll have to pay him at some point. But you're not paying too, because Caserio's gone. Now he's collecting Caserio's
salary.
To
be the guy.
So it's very, I think it's very Belichickian. It's value. You know, it's you know, getting something that's worth more than you have to pay to get it. And he may see Mike Lombardi right now as worth more than what he's going to have to pay to get him.
I think that's sounds
plus
logical.
They're boys. I mean, as I said, if you believe Lombardi, he talks to him every week anyway. Might as well talk to him in the building.
And it's unfortunate because Andy has written some stories in the past and used Michael Lombardi when he was at NFL Network as a, you know, a guy to talk to, and we kind of thought that he'd be back in that loop now, and now that he's coming to work for the Patriots, he's out of that loop. Yes. We'll never get to talk to him again.
As soon as he enters the same building I'm in, the chances of me talking to him go to zero.
And then the other story that has
unless
come
he retires
out the
last after 30
couple
years.
Days, Richie Incognito took to Twitter to say that, you know, the facts will bury you, Jonathan Martin, and was really strong, and then all of a sudden said, talk to my lawyer. I think his lawyer said, yeah, stop that.
Said, well, what the hell? It sounds like he's going to be sort of vindicated when the report comes out.
Certainly.
And now you're ruining it.
Right.
Well, the last
right.
thing.
You were going to be
acting
right.
like a bully.
Right. Now you're acting like an a-hole.
I thought
again.
He was fine until he made the suicide line.
Right.
He said that he, you know, fact.
I also didn't really understand it.
You know.
When was the suicide going to happen and when was he told?
He
what
said
is the
in May. He said
he
in
told
May.
Him in May of 2013.
Yeah. But he said because he wasn't playing well.
Right.
Well, you don't play in May.
Well,
so
I'm
what
I'm
didn't really understand
I assume it's like OTAs and stuff like that. You know, he was. Thought he was losing his job or whatever, but that's the line. You know, if true, you don't need to be telling people that.
Yeah.
Your friend, who you claimed it was your friend, was contemplating suicide.
Yeah, I. As but, a person who is reactionary and defensive, I can understand where he's been pooped on
right.
for the better part of. Whatever,
I had no problem
now,
with the rest of the rant,
and now he feels like he sort of is empowered to fight back.
Yeah, but
because he has
and,
been.
And,
what
happened to? And let's face it, he is a meathead.
Right.
But,
oh yeah.
But
yeah.
what happened to what was it last week when he said, you know, I strongly encourage Jonathan Martin's return to football or whatever. Wasn't there? Didn't he tweet something like that last week?
No, he was tweeting out about Michael Sam how he was.
No. Last week there was something from Incognito saying,
well, there were a lot
yeah, I strongly support Jonathan Martin coming back to football.
Are you confusing the 1,000 texts that got released?
Yeah, that might because then
those weren't fresh. All of them; those were older.
Didn't the Martins camp release some tweets, you know, about Incognito that pissed off Incognito?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I just like the whole thing.
I had no problem.
I
had no problem with anything that Incognito because just what Andy said. You know, he's a guy who absolutely got his reputation destroyed.
It was a girl. This was the case of a girl who was slutty and then she gets piled on for what she didn't really earn. She already has a bad reputation.
Right.
And now she, like, no, that's not right. Just because I did X, Y, and Z didn't mean I did this.
Right.
And everybody took to assume because he was getting
in
fights and
a jerk
that he was everything.
Yeah.
And no.
I have no problem with him defending himself. I thought the line about the suicide was completely uncalled for, and I think that was the last one before I'm out, see my lawyer. My guess is what Fred said. They were like, Richie, what are you doing? Shut up.
Plus, by the way, you're going to try to get a job.
Right.
You're not helping
your future
employment.
Now, I wouldn't sign this guy. You know, I have a little empathy for him because I think that he was railroaded in this, but I wouldn't sign him with it because I don't think he's a guy that I want in my locker room.
Yeah, I don't know. I probably wouldn't, but the trouble is we know more about him than we know about some other people. And
yeah,
I don't know if I would feel differently. I mean, a lot of them are jerks. A lot of them are meatheads. A lot of them are a-holes.
Yeah.
And we just happen to know
and
more about how, the specifics
and
of
And I think
how
a lot
is.
Of people didn't like him because of that long before any of this
right.
stuff.
He was an easy guy to pile on.
You know, the dirty reputation and all that stuff.
But
too.
That also doesn't disregard, you know, he's fondling women with a golf club. And I mean, he's not a good guy.
He was a jerk before. He's still a jerk.
He was a jerk before he was a jerk.
And Jonathan Martin has problems. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no doubt
before,
about it.
Yeah, that aren't related to Richie Incognito.
Right, right. He's got issues.
And that's where I sort of was, you know, empathetic to Incognito. I don't think Jonathan Martin's problems have anything to do with him.
Right.
And I think the rest of the, you know, the average people that just don't know, all they know is the headlines, you know, kind of like when I talk about, you know, news and politics and all I know is really the headlines of the thing. Average people think that Incognito caused this for Martin. I don't think that's the case.
Right. All right. Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Those or anything else are on the table. One thing I... A long time ago, or not too long ago, maybe last week before. I talked about that story down in Tampa with the prostitutes.
Oh, yeah.
We went. And somebody, JL, followed up. He says, I was listening to your show from a couple days ago, but he wrote this on February 4th. I was surprised to hear that you attended University of Tampa. I recently graduated from USF, University of South Florida in Tampa. The tuition and housing prices are too much, even with scholarships. My cousin also graduated from Tufts.
Hey! Yeah, Bose!
And UMass, and he will be paying for off that for a long while. While I was living in Tampa, I was at one of the strip clubs on Dale Mabry.
Oh.
My friends got together.
Now, would that be Mons Venus or Space Odyssey 2000?
My friends got together to send off my buddy before he left for the military. Anyway, the same thing happened to us. We went into one of the clubs, but before we got in, a couple of girls stopped us to talk. After it was all over, my friend was out his money. I was lucky, as I always keep my money in my shoe before I go to these places. Just thought this was really funny. Wanted to thank you for spraying them with your white stuff.
What?
And he said, Andy giggle. I digress.
And you did.
I digress back to the Patriots. Do you think Wilfork is done, or will he restructure his contract? And if so, what would you give him?
I have no idea. I think that is the greatest question of the offseason. I think it's the hardest to predict.
I think he will restructure. I think they'll give him what he's owed this year in the form of a bonus and probably tack a year or two on, low money extension, which is a bit of a risk. Andy just kind of made the clenched jaw look that not the jutted jaw that he does
like
when he's all in a rant and everything.
Salary is 7.5 this year, I think, or 8.
Yeah, I know the cap number is around 11.
So you bring him down to just under $1 million or whatever his. So you're going to have 6 to 7 that you divvy out over another.
You got to add two at least,
guess,
if you're going to make it worth
right,
your while.
I guess
so
$3 million a year of dead money.
His cap is 11.5.
Right, yeah, but his salary is like. I think you're right.
I think it's
like
7.5 or 8. So you're,
so
probably,
you give
you're talking
him that,
about $3 million you're divvying out per year for 15 and 16 when you don't know if he's going to be on your team, you know, 500 pounds, capable, anything.
And I think what complicates it is you're probably going to have to wait until the end of April into May when the offseason kicks in, the offseason program, just to make sure that where he is physically.
Yeah, but I don't know if you can.
And I don't even know how much you're going to know.
Then. Right. I think you got to do it as soon as possible to get the money. It's hard to be aggressive if you're waiting until May.
Yeah. No, I suppose that you could have in your mind, we're either going to restructure him or we're going to have to part ways. So we're going to get that money.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
I mean, how he comes off this injury is a factor. And how quickly will they
suck?
And how quickly will they know how he's going to be physically?
But don't you think he's going to be as good as you know, Joe Villano?
I don't know.
I mean, do you think he's really going to fall off
the
map?
Well, if he's only as good as
Joe Villano. It's just, to me, it's purely physical. Can he
play
on it?
He's going to play. I'd be stunned in this day and age if he can't play. He might not be the same. He might not be anywhere near the old Vince Wilfork. But so what if he's Joe Villano? Right? I mean, you're going to have a body. You're going to have 53 guys.
But do you want to pay Joe Villano $7.5 million?
Yeah, but I'm rolling the dice. I mean, I'm rolling the dice. So you're just going to cut him.
But you know they don't like
you're
doing
just going to cut him.
I think
he's different. I think he's in a different category. I think he's in Troy Brown, Teddy Bruschi category.
Yeah, but they wouldn't
where RKK may have a little bit of say. He is an organizational fixture.
I agree, but think about what
plus Bianca's mean.
But think about what the Golden Parachute was for Troy Brown. It wasn't $7.5 million. It was veteran minimum type stuff.
And you got to play defense.
Yeah. You know, not, I think Andy's talking about that, like that last year of Troy Brown. You know, unfortunate. You know, Willie Mays fell down. Troy Brown got hit in the face with a punt. You know, that's unfortunately the lasting memory we have of a great career.
Poor Troy. So you would just cut him
if I didn't think he could play better than Joe Villano.
No, but if you decide that you need to get this done sooner rather than later. You can't wait until midsummer to make this
question.
Transaction.
So when will they know physically how he's going
to
be?
You won't. You can't. You're not going
to
know.
Then I have to do your rolling the dice thing. But
that's what I mean.
That's a very unpatriot-like thing to do.
I know, but I think you got to do it. Because it's either cut him
or do it
early. I think you need to do this early. This needs to be a March decision. I don't think this can be a May or June decision.
Then I think that you restructure him now.
That's what I think.
Add him 2 years, and you just go with it. And you have to hope.
You got to.
Because I don't think that it's good karma.
Is it a restructuring
bad juju to let him go?
He does as well or better, or is it a haircut?
No,
it's the same.
It's just guaranteeing it.
Yeah,
it's simple, actually, I think they call it a simple restructure.
A simple restructure where you convert salary to bonus, and you add a couple of, you know, low-priced years at the end. Okay. Right?
All right.
Neat and tidy. Larry Fitzgerald.
Well, maybe. He might say no.
You know, Larry Fitzgerald's...
If you pay me.
Larry Fitzgerald's going to be in the same situation probably next year. They're probably going to do the same kind of thing next year if they want to keep him.
All right.
But that's what happens. That's, you know, when they use the whole credit card thing. You know, you end up like me.
Taking a 401k loan.
Yeah, you have to play credit card roulette to pay for lunch every day.
Let's go to the phones and the Ace Ticket Hotline. Salt's in Orlando. Hey, Salt, haven't heard from you.
You already called that in, right, guy?
How are you guys doing today?
Good. What's up? Where's Pepper?
Pepper is working. Some of us got to work.
That's right. Somebody's going to support that relationship.
That's right. Luckily, it's her. So, listening to the show the other day was a great show, even though Fred just made a cameo appearance. And I know you guys always talk about, you guys got experts who call in. You know, you got an expert on everything who listens to the show.
So you're gay.
I'd like to be your expert on male rape.
What?
I know Andy had a question the other day.
Yes.
Why don't you ever hear about men getting raped?
Yes.
That's because of the laws and how they're written. Most of them are written with, you know, forceful penis and vagina, and obviously men do not have vaginas, and so they get sexually assaulted. They never get raped.
Really?
Yes. I have a degree in criminal justice that I do not use.
So technically the laws for rape
that
are...
I do not use.
I heard that
part.
The laws are written for male-female rape.
Correct.
Oh, that's interesting. So I guess we got to update our laws then, right? I mean...
Yeah.
Especially if there's going to be more and more male couples or dating, then date rape among gays is going to become more prevalent, and that needs to be updated. The laws are behind the times,
probably,
as they usually are.
Football question.
But here's the thing. Here's where the gray area is. Salt, you talk about.
The gray
if
or
you
brown.
Start to talk about, you know, let's face it, sodomy as rape, aren't you then saying that that is an okay thing, because there are laws on books in certain states where sodomy is illegal.
I
think Massachusetts.
Were there laws against the bumper buddies thing in the shower?
From the
Puritan days.
No, this is a state that sodomy is illegal.
I think Andy's right. It's from the old puritanical
blue laws and whatever they call them. All those. Yeah.
But I don't think it's. I don't think it's the act that's being called criminal. It's the fact that one of the parties doesn't want to consent.
No.
But that's why it's called assault.
No, but the act in Massachusetts, I believe, is illegal.
Right.
I believe anal sex is illegal in Massachusetts.
That's correct. Sodomy.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's not a
regardless of whether
it's, you know, two consenting adults.
Yeah. Right.
I think a lot of New England states are like that. I think it's from the old puritanical days.
Right. Oh, yeah. They're old. They're hundreds of years old.
But that kind of makes the complication in the law about whether to call it.
Well, when you update the law, though, then you have to update that law, too.
Right. Right.
But it's also, it's tough to update, I think. Like, are you suddenly presenting the bill? I am the one who want to make anal sex legal.
Well, yeah.
This is
my
platform.
Right.
Anal sex, yes.
But there are plenty of
Kramer, the ass.
No, but there are plenty of openly gay legislators who that would be a very
But I'm talking about a
reasonable thing for them to do.
As a public discussion and to vote on, you know, and all in favor of anal sex. Like, it's just. It's easier to just, I think, kind of let
They would probably word it differently.
Because the last person to be charged for consensual anal sex probably was 200 years ago or something. It's not, it's just a nothing law
in
the books.
But in the terms
there was
of
that one time where the cops snucked. Oh, never mind. It was that.
But in the terms of the crime that Salt's talking about, it does come into play.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Now, you had a football question?
Yeah. Obviously, you need an upgrade in tight ends.
Yes.
If Gronk doesn't play, obviously, or even just to upgrade the second tight end. What do you guys think about either Ed Dickerson or Pitta, you know, from Baltimore? We can hurt Baltimore and, you know, make ourselves better in one move.
I think either
I love
one of
Pitta.
Them,
I hate like Dickerson.
Well, I think either one of them would be an upgrade to the position.
To the nothing that we have now.
The question is, do you want to try to recreate the magic you had when, or thought you had with Gronk being this all-world guy and then Hernandez being this flex guy?
Why not?
Well, but can you?
But even
or
who
do you
cares?
Want to go back to more of the traditional tight end mold?
I think if there are tight ends
who's
like
the best player?
Hernandez available, why not try to recreate that magic and hope that Gronk can recover and become
Well, I'm assuming Gronk's going to be Gronk, okay? But do we try
to get him? I don't.
Well, no, but that's in this sort of exercise, I'm assuming he's going to be okay.
But that's a bold assumption.
For the other tight end that we bring in, what kind of tight end do we want to bring in?
I think you can try to recreate that magic. Yeah.
See, I don't care about any, just the best. You know, who's the best tight end available?
But if you're looking
for is he Jason Witten?
Well,
I'll use him one way.
If you're looking for a well-rounded tight end, you wouldn't take Hernandez.
I agree with Andy.
Right. You know? Yeah, I would. To me, the blocking end is secondary. I need a pass catcher.
Okay.
Now, is he a versatile pass catcher or is he just a pure pass catcher? Well, I'll figure out how to use him from there. But I need a tight end who can be a presence in Tom Brady's passing attack. That's what I need.
Okay.
And I agree with Salt's suggestions. I think Pitta would be one that would fall into that kind of, you know, move tight end.
Right. Right.
That's how you have to talk now.
Thanks for the
like
call,
you know
Salt.
What you're talking about.
But like Jay Samaro, the guy that everybody has slated to us as like a late, it sounds like he's going to rise and that he's probably going to be a trade up guy if you want him. But he really is Hernandez. Like everything you read about him, he has some questionable off-field issues. No. He credit card fraud, kicked out of games for being a punk, questionable hands at times.
Let's pull.
Very productive.
Killed a guy.
Soft. He gets like banged off his routes sometimes, and I thought Hernandez was on the field, soft a little bit.
Yeah.
So he really, and you know, the greatest single season in the history of NCAA for a tight end. He had like 1,300 yards, 100 and something catches. He's certainly a talent.
Did he win the Mackey
Award? There are some concerns. I don't believe he did. I don't know for sure, but I don't believe he did.
Chris,
I bet Abron did.
Chris with a TIANs on the line. Hey, Christian.
North Carolina.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
I had a quick question. What do you think is more likely, that Wolfork gets cut or that Edelman gets re-signed?
Edelman gets re-signed.
More likely?
Yeah.
More likely of those two, I would go Edelman re-signed. Yeah. I don't think that either one of those things is going to happen, though. I don't think Wilfork's going to get cut, and I don't think Edelman's going to re-sign.
You don't think Edelman's going to? This is new. I didn't hear this before.
It's
this
not
hot
that
take
new.
From you.
It's not really that hot. I just think
I
he's going to make
hot,
more.
That's a hot sports take.
I think he's going to make more money than the Patriots are going to be willing to give
so
him.
So he's gone, you think?
Yeah. In my opinion, yeah. It doesn't
mean that,
that's not worth a hill of beans.
It's true.
What
it's
do you think
nothing.
About that? I mean, if that's the case, what do you think about that for the offense?
I think they're right.
Who's right?
Patriots.
the catch is overrated, Fred.
I would agree with the Patriots for letting him go if he makes more than, say, $3 million annual. AAV, as they
he's
say.
He's probably going to.
And I think he will. I think someone will give him like
so
five or six
what
million.
What do you do if you're the Patriots, then?
You get guys on the outside that can make plays.
Yeah.
Well, what about guys on the inside?
I think Aaron Dobson.
You have
needs
Danny
to have
Amendola.
Enough of those guys. I think Aaron Dobson needs to step up.
Have we all just moved on from Amendola?
I haven't.
Why are you rolling your eyes?
I think Aaron Dobson can give you
right
the
now,
same kind of jaggy season
the way
that
I'm looking
Edelman
at Danny
did last
Amendola
year.
Is how we finished 2013, and that's what I'm in my mind ready
but
to expect.
You're,
and that's why you're also looking at Julian Edelman.
But yet you're expecting Gronk to be Gronk,
and you're expecting Julian Edelman to be healthy for the second time
because
in
Gronk's
6 years.
Gronk's done it before.
Listen,
but
I'm not,
when was
I'm
the last
comparing...
time Edelman was a sure thing 100 catch guy because he was on the field? Oh, wait, that only happened once.
My question is, okay, if you don't think he's going to be here, then what?
Then you replace him. And you'll score points
do
and
we
people
have
will catch those balls.
Wait a minute. When I want to go back to something he just said. When did Gronk come back from five off-season surgeries before and be completely healthy?
Last year.
Completely healthy. He was never
he was
completely healthy.
He was on pace to produce as much as he's ever done.
Yeah, but he wasn't completely healthy.
I'm not comparing.
He was producing. I don't care what his health was. He was producing.
Yeah, I'm not comparing Gronk and Edelman in terms. I mean, Gronk and Amendola in terms of talent, but they're both, you know, uncertainties due to health. When Gronk is on the field healthy, we know he will produce.
Right.
Now we don't know how much Amendola will produce.
That's kind of my point.
Even if he's on the field, but just to sit there and say that he can't be Edelman. If he's on the field for 16 games.
Well, what
I mean,
about all this stuff that came out at the end of the year? The Brady never.
No, not all this stuff.
Yeah. One
guy
one
wrote
line
one
in the
line.
Sunday Notes column by Ben Volen.
An unsourced line.
Right.
Well, I mean, that's
which
not,
may or
not
may
being,
not have been opinion.
I'm not being disrespectful.
Is there
it was one guy who wrote one line.
As to why in the biggest game of the season he had one target?
Because that was his target all year.
Yeah.
The guy he was most comfortable with. The only guy who really showed up that
Edelman
day.
Edelman was the target from December on. That was it.
Right. I'm talking about Amendola. Why he only had
No, but that's the question that Andy asked Bill on EEI right here in this studio about how Edelman was getting the predominance of the percentage of targets every game for the last four or five games.
So what's the explanation for that?
That's who Brady had comfort with throwing the ball. One guy.
Right.
Well, I was that's on Brady.
I was giving him the benefit of the
doubt. That's Brady's fault. That's not the other guy's fault.
I know, but whatever.
I know we can't say that. I know that's illegal in this town.
Paul, whatever the reason is, now you're taking that one guy away.
No, it's never Brady's fault.
No, with you. It's always Brady's fault.
You're moving into a different argument here. But I want to get back to if Edelman's gone, the guy that Brady had a good rapport with is gone, and now he's left with the guy he doesn't. So what do the Patriots do? So I don't think
you sign Emmanuel Sanders.
I'm not so neutral about Edelman leaving.
My point is, if Edelman is not there to get the, what was it, like 67% on average in those last four or five games?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If Edelman's not there, then he has to throw it to somebody else.
Right, and who?
And this, at Amendola.
How about your guy, Emmanuel Sanders?
Why do you think Amendola can't play?
But we talked about last summer, if they had signed Emmanuel Sanders, Julian Edelman may not have been on the team.
I don't want any part of Emmanuel Sanders either, by the way.
Okay.
Let me just throw that in there.
Paul wants nobody.
It begs the question.
I want a guy who can make plays.
You have turned into Eldridge.
Yeah, well, right? If I can't get Calvin Johnson, then I don't want to play this game.
Eldridge has a point, though. They need a guy like that.
I think so does every team.
But they also need a slot guy. Like, I think it'd be funny if Edelman leaves here and goes to Detroit. You don't think Matthew Stafford would like to have a little slot receiver to dump the ball off to when he can't chuck it to Calvin Johnson?
My point is,
it diversifies your offense.
If Amendola is the only slot option, I have no problem with that.
Really?
That's all I'm saying.
I don't really either.
I don't either.
I just think it's funny
that he can produce.
Julian Edelman.
Yes.
Okay.
But Julian Edelman, in your mind, is Wes Welker. Yep. He's a guaranteed to play 16 games and catch 100 balls. Because he did it once.
He did it once in 5 years.
Once.
All I'm saying is that, you know, as limited as the offense.
I don't think we're really fighting.
I don't even know what we're fighting about, but we're all worked up.
I'm not worked
up. This is another one of those things where we're all saying the same thing, but I mean something totally different. I don't think that much of Edelman, so I think Amendola can replace him. You think that the fact that I think Amendola can replace Edelman means I think more of Amendola than you do. That's not the case.
I'm just looking at what happened in 2013, and we were left with an offense that was Julian Edelman or bust. And now we're going to take him out of the equation.
No, but you're forgetting that Aaron Dobson will be in his second season, and you're hoping he's healthy.
Because
part of that was
I'm also hoping he can play.
I'm hoping
Amendola can play. Right. I'm hoping Edelman can stay. There's a lot of hopes here. You have zero sure things in the passing
attack.
What was once a sure thing is not a sure thing.
Now you're right.
Now you are. He pushes my button.
And Chris just still on the
line. He's enjoying the conversation.
Who do you want to see catch passes?
But you're also forgetting that in training camp and early in the preseason, Amendola was the best receiver out there, and he was getting passes from Brady. He gets hurt, doesn't play in the third preseason game, comes and has that great game in Buffalo, then has to sit out for a few weeks, and Edelman takes advantage and becomes a guy that Brady trusts. Let's not forget the timing of how that all happened.
Yeah, but then we can also say that after that, Amendola had ample time to regain that trust, and he seemed
We don't know how hurt he was. We do not know the injury factor.
But see, I'm not dismissing that. Once Brady starts throwing to a guy in game, and that's it.
He locks on.
You ain't getting in after that. Forget it.
Your opinion on Brady is worthless. You are so biased
at this point.
You are Ron Borges talking about Bill Belichick.
No, I think that's part of the issue here. I don't care what Amendola did in the preseason, because I've seen guys come in here and light it up in the summer many times. Sometimes that means nothing. Sometimes it means something. I don't care what Amendola did in the summer. I think that Amendola, if he is able, now it's a huge if with him. It's the same stuff we talked about last year. He's an injury-prone guy. I know that Patriots fans don't like that term. He's an injury-prone guy. I don't know if he can play 16 games.
Edelman is an injury-prone.
No, he is.
Oh, okay.
He absolutely
is still injury-prone.
But if he is able to play 16 games, I have no problem with him being my slot guy who's going to catch 80 or 90 passes. I don't care about that. I have no issues with that.
I mean, now, he caught like 50 passes.
If Gronk misses 10, 12 games like he had to this year, maybe he'll catch 100 passes like Edelman did.
Right.
If Gronk is out there, he probably won't catch that many because he won't have to. I also think, as Fred brought up, Aaron Dobson needs to have a leap. He needs to be better.
He needs to be more consistent.
I think he will.
I mean, as a second round receiver who had a productive
season,
you're assuming he's better.
And I'm not
bold assumption.
I'm not asking Kenbrell Tompkins to make a leap.
I think there's a better chance that Aaron Dobson makes a leap and has a good year than Julian Edelman recreating this year. Because one is expected. I can't expect when you have 5 years that the one is what's going to become the commonplace. I have to still assume mathematically and whatever that the four. Whereas a rookie receiver, I mean,
How many rookie receivers have years that are all that much better than Aaron Dobson?
Not many.
A lot of guys that go on to be very good receivers. Not great. Usually if you're great, if you're A.J. Green or Calvin Johnson, you come in, you get 1,000 yards, and you're great. But good receivers? There's been plenty of good receivers who have a ho-hum rookie year, and then the next year they're making plays.
It just seems that, you know, lately, every year, and, you know, I don't want to, you know, make all these excuses for Tom Brady, but that they're starting over with these receivers.
Yeah, but this year you're starting over because last year you got started over and you didn't have a chance to do it.
They started over last year.
Yeah.
When else did they start over?
It just
07?
Yeah. And last year you weren't really starting over.
Well. I mean, that was a long time ago.
Yeah. You should have had Hernandez and Gronk last year, so that shouldn't have been a start over. You should have been filling in around the $100 million right. core of your passing attack. But I'm sorry, it didn't work. It was unfortunate.
Who do you want, Christian?
I'm hoping, honestly, they're not going to sign Edelman because they have $31 million tied up in Amendola, so they're not going to re-sign Edelman. I'm hoping Boyce can get some of these catches in the slot and can get some snaps and can stay healthy.
That's absolutely plausible. And, if
there's no chance of him becoming that.
I don't think he's a 100-catch guy.
He doesn't seem shifty enough.
He doesn't catch the ball well enough.
I don't think he's a reliable target.
He's like
a totally different guy. He could be a slot receiver like Victor Cruz, though, not with the production,
sure, but
with
he's not going to catch 100 balls, and he's not going to be every third down. You're like, wow, he just catches every third down. That's not what he is.
No,
he's a playmaker.
I don't see him being
his high side is playmaker.
He's more closer to Dante Stallworth.
I think Victor Cruz, a slot, speed-based, down-the-field slot guy.
But Cruz has great hands.
He doesn't. Boyce doesn't.
I know.
They could get better, though.
Could.
And he might learn the offense, because you can't tell me he didn't have problems learning the offense. He never played. He was inactive all the time.
Right.
He was a healthy scratch. That's not because you have a couple drops. That's because you're not ready to go. You're not a contributor. You're not part of the mix.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, Christian.
It was nice talking to Christian.
You know, we've had a lot of talk about Amendola's injury, and one of our readers has done some research, and I won't go into it all, but he gets down to the fact that his type of injury, if it's accurate, what the reports are, you can have surgery or you don't have to. And actually, the recovery time, if you have surgery, is longer than if you rested. But here's the point here's the interesting part. He says, basically, what the scientific paper says is that studies suggest that the abductor group of muscles, which is Amendola's injury, may not actually play a vital role in sprinting and cutting maneuvers, casting further doubt on the full value of its full anatomical attachment.
Yeah.
So to my surprise, that muscle doesn't really matter and remains unattached. Because the recovery time tends to be shorter without surgery and the outcome is the same, more athletes choose this path. Now to the unfortunate news. Once Amendola sat out 2 to 4 games, he was most likely close to full recovery. The only thing that would really be slowing him down at that point is the pain from being sore from the initial injury. At some point during the season, the groin should have not been bothering him anymore. So although I don't want it to be true, we might have been watching a healthy Amendola for the majority of the season. I'd like to hear what you guys think about Amendola knowing this information.
Well, here's the thing. If he had actually rested for 2 to 4 weeks, I might agree with you.
He did.
But he rested from games, but he was on the practice field every day.
He didn't rest for four weeks.
He rested, and I'll tell you, I'm with this emailer.
We saw him practice. I can only assume
that
practice.
And you guys saw him walking through the pads. You guys said he couldn't even walk.
Yeah, but
right?
On the first day.
So he wasn't doing anything at practice.
On the first day, Paul.
Right, and for 3 weeks he didn't play. So...
But we don't know exactly what he did and how limited he was.
Yeah, well,
the fact that he was out there 2 days after getting hurt.
I'm with the emailer. When he didn't get surgery after the year, I got more worried about Danny Amendola for the future. Because I was under the impression that he was playing in pain all year, and now I'm not so sure he was.
Well, that's what the emailer's point is.
But
what was preventing him,
I still think that he can catch passes and do all that stuff in the slot that Edelman did last year.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just think that. He's not. I thought he might be able to do something more than that, and I don't think that that's the case anymore.
I'm just really troubled by the lack of production down the stretch.
I thought the big problem with him was health in his career.
But what if it wasn't?
Evidently, to me, he is kind of what he is. He's an Edelman type. He's not a difference maker. He's not a $31 million guy, I'll tell you that.
All the more reason why I think they should look strongly at re-signing Edelman.
But you can't.
But
you
can't yourself. Because you paid him $31 million.
You effed yourself.
And I don't think Edelman
the market for white.
Just so you know, I don't think Edelman's that guy either.
Non-playmaking.
Edelman was great value at $750,000 last
That's
year.
The biggest
I don't want to
problem.
Pay him $5 million.
You should not have paid him $31 million.
But he's going to cost, what, $6 million to the cap this year?
Who?
Amendola?
Oh,
something
I don't know.
Like that.
Hang on.
It was $10 million guaranteed over 5 years, so you got two. Is he up to $6
million? Four and a half.
Yeah. Four and a half this
against
year.
The cap.
And I certainly don't want to give Edelman that.
You can't afford to get another receiver around that ilk?
Another receiver? Yes.
Yeah.
Do I want Amendola or Edelman at that? No.
My point is you're paying the same spot potentially $62 million
right.
because you set the market. You know how they usually don't set the market in anything? They set the market with that contract they gave Amendola.
For that type of
for
receiver.
For that guy, that position, that role. They set the market, and that is not good. That is why you're in such a bind right now. If you had paid Amendola the contract that you were offering others, right? If you had paid him, you know, 4 years, $16 million, you could probably easily sign Edelman and not have to worry about it. Now you got two guys, not that big a deal. But you set the market. You went too high.
Okay.
That was a bad contract.
You think so?
Yep.
Well, I mean, in year one, it certainly looks like a bad contract.
Yeah.
Now, if he comes back and catches 110 passes this year, maybe you'll say, all right, yep, you know, Eric is right. He didn't get the rest, and when he got the rest, he was a much different player.
I still think it's a bad contract.
I
want to
see what the 110 catches look like.
Right.
If they look like Edelman's, then I still say it's a bad contract.
Well, it is. It's not even an opinion. That's a fact. Because you're telling me what the market is for Wes Welker, for Julian Edelman, those types of deals. And then you broke the market for this guy. So which is it? This guy needs to be more than what they were. This guy needs to be what we thought he could be. Down the field, make a few more plays, yards per catch.
I'm looking for a Victor Cruz type.
I heard that this year the Broncos might even think about cutting Welker.
Right. Yeah.
Because his cap number is
well,
escalated. Yeah.
It was $12 million, but it was divvied like 4 and 8 instead of balanced.
Right. Imagine if he ended up back here.
Because $4
million
he's
not coming back
I don't
here.
See that happening.
$4 million is the going rate for these guys. The Patriots knew that. That's what they were trying to tell the Welker camp. Welker camp effed it up. But they knew the market, and then for some reason,
they blew
the market out of the water to get their plan B.
Well, they panicked a little bit.
Which I don't understand. No. They forced their own hand by saying, we have to move on. Why do you have to move on?
Well,
why do you have to move on? Right? Because Welker was still available. Mm-hmm. But you told Welker, we have to move on.
You thought he was going to leave and sign a deal with somebody.
So why did you have to set
the
market?
He was gone.
Who were you bidding against for Danny Amendola, where you had to double the market? Philadelphia is the team.
I think
were you really? Were they going to give him $31 million?
I don't know.
Were they going to blow the market up for that job, that role, that position?
I mean, you're,
we don't know.
You're talking about a team that usually is pretty frugal. Now you're saying that, you know, they panicked and overbid when they didn't have to.
Which lends credence to people believing that somehow emotion got involved here and this wasn't a strict negotiation just based on numbers, correct?
Yeah, I think that they thought they'd end up with no one if they didn't act right away. They wouldn't have Welker and they wouldn't have Amendola.
Yeah, I don't know how much competition they had for Amendola.
That was why they had to double the contract essentially for him.
For Amendola?
Yeah.
Why do you think that's I don't know if that's doubling it.
He's making $6 plus million a year.
Well, his old contract, but I don't know if
Welker versus anyone else. Their belief was that role is worth $3.5 to $4 million a year, correct?
I don't know.
Oh, well yeah, it is.
Well, that's what they offered Welker.
I don't know what eventually they were finally offering Welker and what he was looking for. I haven't seen that report. I don't know.
Did we not?
I know that they weren't even close to what Welker wanted, but
no one was close to what Welker wanted.
Yeah,
that's because his agent blew it.
And Welker ended up not getting what he wanted.
The only one that was there
was
Tennessee, right? Tennessee offered him like 16 or something like that.
Yeah, but they weren't even.
And he wanted no part of going to Tennessee. So,
but he also thought he was going to get 16 guaranteed.
Right.
He thought he was going to get maybe an Amendola deal.
Right.
4 years, $32 million was 16 guaranteed,
and he got like 10 guaranteed.
So why did we give it to Amendola? So we must have thought he was better. He was more.
He was younger. Yeah.
Well, it shouldn't just be younger.
They thought he was better
because Edelman's younger. So why don't we pay him more?
Well, I mean, I don't know, because he doesn't have the track record. I'm not sure.
Of Amendola? Amendola doesn't have a track record to write anything on.
I don't know the answer to that.
Amendola's done nothing in this
league. I do know that, you know, I think that the bottom line, they felt they had to get one or the other.
I think they forced their own hand.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about that. But I know that they felt that Welker was done. He's gone. He's going to go get a contract somewhere else.
So they misread the market, too. Because Welker came crawling back, if you believe all accounts, when he found out all that was out there was 2 years and $12 million. He came crawling
back.
So the Patriots misread the market,
too. No, they actually knew what the market was, but they figured, well, somebody's going to give Welker what he wants, and, you know.
But that's what Andy's saying. They forecasted the market correctly. And then they didn't realize that they were right.
Right, chickened out.
They
basically.
They did chicken out. They didn't want to risk him not getting, him getting a contract. If they knew that he was going to come back after finding out what the market actually was, they would have held off on signing Amendola.
Okay, but then they overpaid Amendola. They gave him $6 million a year. $6 plus million.
I didn't really hear anybody saying that at the time.
Oh, God.
I heard everybody saying, oh, my God, if that's all we had to do to pay Welker, we should have just kept Welker.
Well, you mean the 2 and 12?
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody wanted Welker back for what they gave him rather than Amendola. But everybody was very critical of the Amendola deal.
The guy had, one career 100-yard game coming into this season? He had never played a season.
Averaged less than 9 yards.
The guy had no track record to base $31 million on. That was a bad contract. And now it is tying your hands with Julian Edelman.
You can always tell when Patriots fans are really defensive of a contract that it's one that people are criticizing, because all you heard all this time last year, not this time, fast forward a month when free agency starts, was he's not injury prone. Every time he gets hurt, it's a broken collarbone. It's a major injury. It's not injury prone.
That was wrong.
But somehow when Gronkowski breaks his arm, that's injury prone.
We got to cut him because he's soft and we can't count
him. He tore his ACL.
They're
both injury prone guys. They've gotten a lot of injuries.
There might have been some fans saying that Amendola wasn't injury prone, but he is, and he was.
No, I know, but don't say some fans. A lot of Patriots fans were making that.
Maybe where you listen. I don't know. Not on
this show. Like on Patriots, like PFW in Progress?
On this show?
Andy, help me out here. Don't bail. Yes. Don't bail on the ship.
People on this show were up in arms said he was injured.
I agree with you.
We didn't get the guys that called in and said that he gets real injuries, like a broken collarbone.
Yeah.
The shoulder. Thing. Mm-hmm. I mean,
it doesn't matter what type of injuries they are. He's injured.
But that's what we said to them.
Fred, that's how we responded to them. Right. But we got call and email after email.
Maybe a couple. I don't
Fred,
know,
come
really?
On.
Yeah, we did.
You are such a fraud.
We spent the whole offseason doing it.
Popular, like, belief.
But your Twitter's usually blowing up, but for some reason you didn't hear anybody saying that he wasn't really injury prone.
So would you,
Mike Salk still says it.
I did hear some people say that, but I think that they were drowned out by the more reasonable people. Don't you think?
No.
I think that when a guy gets injured a lot, he's injury prone.
Period.
Regardless
of the injury.
It's unfortunate.
It doesn't mean the guy's not tough. I think when you say that a guy's injury prone, there's a connotation that people don't like that, he's soft. He's not playing through injuries. He's got a leg cramp.
But I also think that's true with some guys.
Some guys it is. I don't think it's true with Amendola. I think that guy's tough. I saw the guy. Mm-hmm. I saw the guy himself and convulse. I know that he was in a significant amount of pain in Buffalo.
When he thinks about
you. No, not that way.
Yeah.
No.
It's being injury prone and being unbelievable are not,
always.
They don't have to be.
Just score that Canada game in there, Kevin.
They're completely separate things.
Still nothing.
Right.
And struggling with
Norway.
And
I think
we all
agree that Amendola's tough, but he gets a lot of injuries.
Right.
And it
so did
it limits
Edelman
his play
for a long time.
Yeah, until last year.
Until last year.
Right.
And now Fred can't lose him.
You're missing my point. My point is, what do you do if you lose him?
You do something else.
What's your plan?
I think my plan with him or without him is the same.
So you have no confidence. That's your problem. You don't have confidence in whatever the plan would be.
See, my plan with or without him is the same. I need a guy on the outside to start making plays, or
no,
my offense
Fred's
is the
right.
same.
You do have to throw to somebody, and if Rob Gronkowski's not on the field and Julian Edelman is gone, what is my plan of attack?
Right.
But my point is they're going to do something different.
The Rob Gronkowski not on the field
in.
To me.
Well, Rob Gronkowski's either not going to be on the field or going to be a half a shell of himself in September.
Then you're screwed.
He may be back later in the year, but to start the year, he's not going to be Gronk. It's not going to happen.
No, I know, but I kind of agree with what Fred said a while ago, about 10 minutes ago. When Gronk
get healthy,
when
that's dumb too.
Whether Gronk is fully healthy or not, I know he's going to produce, because I don't think he was right when he came back. But his production was every bit. He was going to be right on par with any year he ever had.
But he won't be great. He won't be the centerpiece of your offense immediately.
But if he's not,
he'll be Rob Gronkowski, not Gronk.
If he's not part of your equation,
though,
if he's not on the field at all. Then
I watched 72 hours of film this morning.
If Gronk's not going to be in the field, now you have to do a major overhaul.
Yeah, now you need everybody that you can get.
I have confidence in them doing that.
I don't.
It is February 13th. We didn't find out in June that our best pass catcher is a murderer, and our other best pass catcher just had back surgery.
Yeah.
It's February 13th.
And I don't want to get into the whole cap is crap, but you know, you have confidence that they're going to do that, but there are limits. They just can't go
There's
out and
no
get
everybody. Limits. You move stuff around, bada bing, bada boom, you
I
got
also
20
think
million.
They need depth and defense. So, I mean, you know, you got to think of the whole team.
Yes, you're right, you do. And they've blown a lot of draft picks that have hurt their depth in a lot of areas. That is part of the problem here, too. Not just the Amendola
whatever
contract.
The history is.
Because Tavon Wilson
do going
sucks,
forward.
I still need a safety, yeah. Right?
But whatever
That's
the,
a huge
whatever
one.
The reasons are.
Because Jake Beckett sucks, I still need another pass rusher.
Regardless of what the reasons are, you still need
it's hard
to address
to argue with
it
a big
going
head.
Forward.
You have
two.
You have a second and third round pick at the two spots that are your
going
biggest
into
need
their
on
third
defense
years.
That played a total of like 20 snaps last year.
But you're
you blew it.
But you're talking about history. It's like, okay, well, we blew those picks, so we can't do anything now.
No, the exact opposite. You believe that. I believe they will find somebody on offense that'll be productive. I think if Edelman leaves, they will bring somebody in and they will be good enough.
See, I look at,
I still have no doubts that the offense will score points and be good enough.
And that this is what I was talking about last year.
You just take it to the whole team level.
No.
It always works out.
No. I'm talking about offensively. I think that they will score points.
You won't even let him agree with you.
Well, yeah.
I don't understand with him how his belief is it always works out for Brady, but when they lose, it's always Brady's fault. I don't understand that.
See, you're mixing
that
up
dynamic.
Two different things. I think that Brady is.
Regular season and postseason.
Well, that's a big part of it. You're playing bad teams for the most part on a weekly basis. You're playing 12 bad teams. Out of your 16 games, you should agree with that more than anybody. Because
I agree.
You think the whole league stinks.
He's starting to yell,
right? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes or no?
Yes.
You think the whole league stinks? So
yes.
In the regular season, you can have flaws. You can not have a guy on the outside that can threaten the defense, and you can still rip them apart. Okay. In the postseason, it gets a little bit different.
Yes.
If Gronk is not part of the equation, we're talking about a lot of stuff that's really irrelevant to me. You can't replace him.
But we're 11 months away from when it matters.
No, I know that, and I have full faith.
Again, I
still
they're
going to
win 10 games, and they're going to be in January.
Like,
we're 11 months away from that mattering.
Right. Do I still think that Gronkowski, I have no issue? No. But I think, like Fred, I think he'll be out there. I'm going to be optimistic. It's a torn ACL.
But not like Fred.
He's fine. I know. You know.
What Fred, the vibe you're giving off, Fred, is if Edelman leaves, the offense is effed.
Yeah, see, I don't think that way.
What about Tompkins? What about Dobson? What about Gronkowski?
Is it not rational to think that one of them is going to make a significant leap forward and be a big part of your offense?
Look, I'll give you the Hut Sports take. If Edelman leaves, with or without Gronkowski, they need to replace him, and not from within. They need to bring somebody else
in. I disagree with you.
I do, too.
They need another guy on the outside,
yeah,
whether Edelman leaves or not.
I think they need to bring somebody in.
I think between Amendola and Boyce,
right,
you can replace
Edelman.
Edelman.
I still think they need an infusion of talent.
Outside.
Outside. I agree with
that. Well, I think inside and out. I think at tight end and at outside.
I agree with that.
Well, see, I'm still relying on Gronk.
Maybe.
I think Dobson's going to have a decent
I think
year.
Dobson can be a good player.
I think so, too.
And you know what? Our boy Pac-Man. Who Andy talked to this week on 98.5, Pac-Man Jones. He keeps, and I keep sort of chiding him about it, he keeps drawing comparisons between Dobson and Alshon Jeffrey, who they were both second-round picks. They were both good size, not blazing speed. They had very similar rookie years, and Jeffrey really broke out last year and had a phenomenal year. Now, I don't look at Dobson with that kind of skill set that he's jumping over guys consistently like Jeffrey did last year.
Plus, Jeffrey, to me, displayed the hands that Dobson was supposed to have. And I haven't yet seen Dobson display the hands that Dobson was supposed to have.
But I don't need him to be Alshon Jeffrey for him to make a significant leap forward. But I just wanted to bring that up as someone else, talking about Dobson as being a guy that can significantly be better than the guy he was this year.
You have no confidence in them, huh? The rookies?
See, I think those three rookies, you can significantly expect more production from.
I don't have the confidence you have. I have confidence that I'm hopeful that they'll improve, but right now I want some more sure things going into the season.
All right, well, you're going to be disappointed because there are no sure things on this roster, and I would argue that even if Edelman returns, he's not a sure thing because he could be gone when he spikes the ball.
I would argue that, too, and I would also argue on it, you know, you'll yell at me, but very negatively, that Edelman's sure thing to me almost hurts because it's just like more – it's the reason why they wanted to move on from Welker in the first place, and Welker was a lot better than Edelman.
Because Brady relied on him too much?
Yes, and they know that they have that. They know that's there.
So how do we get
over
that hump? Because that's another discussion.
You bring in a talented wide receiver.
like John Rook said.
No, you let Edelman go, and you take that option away.
I don't think Edelman's worth $5 million a year.
Right. That's fine.
So get an outside guy, make it be different. And listen, a lot of this is dependent on, you have to hope that Gronk, at least at some point during the season, is Gronk.
Right.
Not Gronkowski.
Well, that's true. I mean, you can also draft Jason Morrow, and he might come in and be like Hernandez and Gronk and contribute right away and be a factor in the offense.
That to me is better than what you had last year.
Potentially.
Yes.
I just have confidence that the offense is going to be good.
What if you can get
your guy? I don't know why you're like, Edelman leaves and we're effed.
But see, that's what we agree though, Andy. I feel like Brady, as long as Brady's here with a couple of guys.
Daniels and Belichick.
Your offense will be good.
And Stephen Ridley, and you have a decent offensive line returning, although the coach is a question mark there. I just think you're overvaluing Julian Edelman.
Yeah. I guess maybe I'm a little bit still traumatized by the fact that, you know, they went into a game with, you know, almost 60 degrees and couldn't move the ball on a middling defense.
But they didn't
but
have
Julian
their
Edelman,
guys.
Yeah, it was the tight end. It was the outside receiver. It was, why are we throwing to Matthew Mulligan and Matthew Slater? That's irrelevant to Julian Edelman.
And why weren't they throwing to Amendola?
I don't know. Because he can't get open.
You have to ask Brady that.
Because he has a dangling groin.
You'll have to ask
okay,
Brady
well,
that.
Now we get back to the original.
But what I'm saying is,
what was the effect of that injury down the road? If you go into
next year and you go into that game and you don't have Gronk again, the same thing's going to happen. I just want to let you know that now. Like Andy said, this doesn't matter for another 11 months because we'll be back in January. Well, if Gronkowski is not a big part of that in January, you're going to struggle on offense again.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way to you know, minimize that damage if he's not here?
Get other players that are playmakers.
More talent.
Okay, that's why I said.
But Edelman's not the guy, is what I'm telling you.
I believe they need an infusion of talent to be brought in on the outside. I agree with that. You know,
but Fred, you're tied into Gronkowski right now.
What?
You're tied into Gronkowski.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So an infusion of talent to make up for Gronk while maintaining Gronk is difficult.
No, to complement any team, and add to Gronk.
No, but any team where
But you're not going to add a Gronk-type player to Gronk.
That's like saying the Lions can't count on...
No, I'm talking about a level of player, not the same skill set.
That's like saying the Lions can't count on Calvin Johnson and they need to inject more talent. Well, if you're going to pay a guy X number of dollars...
That's where the cap isn't crap.
Right.
You can't pay all your receivers all
the
money.
You can only allot each position in each area certain...
And you are invested in Gronk.
That's why I think
and
some
Amendola.
People think... Well, yeah, Amendola. That's where we started. That's a terrible contract. You tied your own hands. A team that doesn't set the market and tie its own hands tied its own hands for a player that I don't know why you would tie your own hands for. They got scared or something. Or it got emotional, it got personal.
I think they got spooked.
Whatever all the theories are, something bad happened.
They were afraid that not only they were going to lose Welker, they weren't going to have anybody to replace him.
Right.
That's
and
what
people
happened.
Won't point to it because it's not, you know, it's not $100 million for Albert Haynesworth. So it's not one of those glaring mistakes, but it was a mistake. The way that contract and the handling and everything, that was a mistake.
Well, we wouldn't be saying that if he came out and had a Welker year.
Yeah, but he didn't. He came out and had an Amendola year.
Right.
Unfortunately, you signed Amendola.
But a lot of people weren't expecting a Welker year. Some were.
He had an Amendola year.
I know.
You can't fault him. He was injured, relatively productive,
when he played, yeah.
He played to his own resume.
Yeah.
You paid him to somebody else's.
That's why I'm saying, like, I don't think I don't think a lot of people expected him to have a Welker year because they didn't think he was as good.
Right. I think they were saying, you know, I think they rolled the dice a little and they said, okay, this will be the year he doesn't get hurt. And it wasn't.
But now we're back to, was he hurt?
Right.
How hurt?
Right.
Is it a long-term
And I'm
hurt?
Back to, if he wasn't hurt, what is he? Because I haven't seen Welker when he's been healthy.
Overpaid.
That's
because
my argument.
I didn't think he was going to have a Welker year. I thought he was going to have a 70-80 catches for 13 yards per catch.
Right.
You know, a better production
right.
in
a little
that
bit
way.
More playmaker.
It was the exact opposite.
I thought it was more of the Victor Cruz type slot receiver who could make some plays and not 125 catches for 3 yards.
You know, other than the Bills
the
game.
Production of Welker, but they would make up for that in a lot of different other areas. You know,
need to have a little more faith, is what you need.
And I think he's going to be okay. I think he can adequately replace
You're
Edelman.
A fraud.
You do.
Need to be more like Andy and I, and just have a little faith in the process.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, but that's what it feels like. You're lacking faith in the process right now.
Well, you just criticized the process from last year. You
so
said
they're
they screwed it up.
They did. They had a terrible offseason.
They're
last
not infallible.
Year. They're due
even
for a bounce
they do,
back.
Andy,
okay.
Even though they do a. Very, very good job.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. If they did a very, very good job, they wouldn't be
they
looking for
position.
Rotational
the fact
depth at defensive
right.
end,
that
a
Andy,
starting strong
Andy
safety.
Andy makes a great point about their depth on defense. There's 2 third-year guys that you drafted in the second and third round
who aren't going to make it,
aren't contributing on your defense
at all.
They're going into the their third year, and I think both of them are going to be in for a roster fight for their lives.
Yeah.
In Beckett and Tavon Wilson.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And those guys should be
at least Tavon plays special teams.
We shouldn't be worrying about
Beckett plays with
you know the third safety. He should be starting at safety now, and Gregory should be a third safety if you wanted to keep him. Instead, Gregory might be a cap casualty because you know the cap's not crap.
Right.
Meanwhile, we had to pay you know a golden parachute of $3 million to Adrian Wilson,
and you brought in Adrian Wilson. So I mean, no one's infallible. I mean, I'm not going to beat them up, but I think that their process and their ability to put a winning team on the field is beyond reproach.
Right. And they're due for a good year. They had a bad year last year. Everything went wrong. We said that all summer. It was a bad year. Everything just didn't seem to click. A lot of bad stuff happened. Now
bad
they're due
things,
for a good
man.
Year.
All right.
Or you could argue that they had a great decade.
On the food, Fred.
What's that?
Still waiting on the food.
Must be the weather,
it's
huh?
I went out to security. It's really bad.
It would have been done by now.
It's going to come in here grinding. Stone cold.
They showed me Route 1. They have the cameras down there. You can't. It's just a white. Really? Wow, you can't see anything.
Are there cars on the road?
So we'll leave
there's
like after nobody this quick on the
meeting.
Road. It's not plowed. So there's nobody.
Good point.
I sat there for 2 minutes watching, and we saw one car go by.
Oh, great!
At least there won't be any traffic.
Right.
You're safer if you just stay.
Right.
Eventually, it'll stop snowing at midnight.
Some reports say no. It's just going to snow for a while.
And going to get worse. Down apparently. By me, it's going to go snow, rain, and then back to snow when it starts to cool again.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
But it looks like it hasn't,
cool.
There hasn't
the
been any rain at all here. It's been all fluffy snow.
Yeah, it's a poop show out there, as Paul says.
Mike's in Puerto Rico, and he's on the A Stick and Hotline. Hey, Mike.
Mike's the pooper.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, great conversation. I heard all 20 minutes of it regarding Edelman and Welker and Amendola. Just wanted to let you guys know.
So do you think we're screwed like Fred does?
I think we could be a lot better if we have Edelman next year. But and I think the whole Amendola thing actually did put some handcuffs on what we're going to do with Welker and doing with other receivers later on. But my actual question is, I was talking to you guys earlier, and regarding the tight end, and you know, I think that's actually going to be the key to our offense next year. And I was, you know, looking at free agents, the draft, and stuff like that, and I'm really excited about it. And I found some great things, and I wanted to give you like a game or a question to see what you guys think.
Okay.
Okay. So these are various options. There are a lot of options. I want to know which one you guys think is the best for the team, and then which one do you think is more plausible for the team?
Okay.
Which one is most likely to happen, okay? And bear with me, because there's a couple of them, okay?
Okay.
Give Jimmy Graham Gronk's contract for 10%, get Brandon Pettigrew and Dennis Pitta a Hernandez contract, it's only one of these. I mean, you guys choose whichever you want. Dustin Keller, Jamarcus Finley, Scott Chandler, and Fred Davis, a real good one-year prove-it contract. Give the Atlanta Falcons a third-rounder for Gonzalez and a fifth-rounder, or some other type of compensation, or draft Amaro, Ebron, or the tight end from Washington, D.C. in the first round.
I like the draft one. I don't think any of the others are really all that plausible or potentially productive.
Yeah, I would agree with Andy. I don't know specifically which one because I haven't really.
I mean, you're not getting Jimmy Graham for the Gronk
yeah,
contract.
Yeah, that's
he's a free yeah. agent who is saying he wants to be paid like a top five receiver, not a top five tight end.
Yeah,
you know, Gronk you went to 2 years early and gave a friendly two-tiered whole blah, blah, blah contract. So wipe that off the board. Tony Gonzalez, I think, is retired, even though he left that little window open of, oh, I might want to blah, blah, blah.
Is he a free agent?
No, he was under a two-year deal.
He did have a two-year deal, so
it
would require compensation to get him
to
them. Yeah.
Okay. And those other guys, Keller coming off a major injury, Finley never going to play again.
Keller and Finley, to me, are irrelevant. Because
Pitta, I think, is a nice option.
Pitta, I would take. I don't think it would take a Hernandez-type contract to get him.
No, and I also don't think it would have a Gronk-like effect on your offense.
I also would take Pettigrew, and I know he's coming off a down year or two, but I think he's a pretty talented guy. But I'm with Andy. I would go to the draft.
So that's the best option. Okay, so going back a little bit, what's the best option and what's the most plausible option?
To me, they're the same as draft to tight end.
draft a tight end. So Amaro, Ebron.
Well, Ebron's going to be gone. You better hope that Amaro isn't, because I think they're the two best.
And then the guy with the real complicated name out of Washington.
Yep, I don't say his name.
You. All right,
Safarin.
All right, thanks, Mike, for the call. Let's take a break. Food's here. It's about 1:15. We got another 45 minutes to go, and we'll do that right after we nourish ourselves.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company, one that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy, one whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country, one that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here.
The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get. And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
This is at St. Thomas the Apostle School in New Jersey. Ronald Robinson.
Good Catholic school.
He came back to
Ronald
class.
Ronald Robinson. Was it a fight or were you being
No, what bored? Happens was, we would always have, there was always two groups. One group played keep away, or back then we called smear the queer. Which
yep, me
could,
too.
Which you couldn't call
so
today.
We played.
And then the other group would play football.
Probably shouldn't say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, one group was play football. So one time I was in the group playing keep away, and Ronald Robinson in the football said, oh, you guys are pussies playing that game.
I guess we're just going to say everything today.
So then.
It's realism.
So then a couple weeks ago, it was opposite. We were the ones playing football, and they were playing keep away. And I said to them, oh, who's the pussy now? So Ronald Robinson, who was tall at that time, but thin, came, you know, we're like, you know, chest to chest. He's like, say that again. I'm like, who's the pussy now? And he punched me in the jaw. You know, and I remember, I can remember this like it was yesterday. I remember thinking,
obviously.
Boy, you know what? That didn't really hurt that much. And if I attacked
So
him,
he was a pussy.
Yeah.
Wait, you, just because he said it twice doesn't mean he was okay.
And now. I was thinking to myself, if I attacked him right now, and I kept myself from doing it, and I shouldn't have. I did the same thing to Richie Campanella. I dared him to say something, and he did it. And I socked him in the stomach and doubled him over.
That was Story Time with Fred Kirsch.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. We'll be here until 2 o'clock talking Patriots. A lot of good discussion, a lot of hot stove discussion for the Patriots going on here. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline where
are those
Eldridge,
poppers hot?
Eldridge has been holding on in
really
North Carolina.
So, yeah.
Eldridge, how are the roads in North Carolina?
Bad, man. They shut everything down yesterday and it's snowing a little bit. It ain't like y'all where we get 17 or 20 inches, but we get about 4 or 5. If they get a little dusting, man, everybody run for bread and milk. I don't know why.
Same thing up here, though.
The shows that the lines break, you know.
Well, I don't know. I'll tell you why. I've seen the video from down there. Guys are just stranded on the road, right?
Right. People walking home in North Carolina, I saw.
I haven't seen that one yet, but.
Wait, are you off today?
It's kind of bad in my
I mean, you're always a little off, but are you off today?
Yeah, I'm off today. I can't get out, so. You know, it's kind of thick this time around. I think it's one of the worst ones I had in a while.
Yeah, so no driving for you.
Well, I'm not. I'm at home watching TV and
good man.
Total access and all that good stuff.
Plus, you can't get that Camaro out because those are bad in the snow, right?
Oh, most definitely. Why I got all the snow off of it, though, but I ain't driving it.
Yeah, but don't those have that non-slip differential or something that makes them terrible or speed-based muscle cars?
Something like that, but I wouldn't drive it on no ice or no snow.
That's a good call.
Yeah, stand.
Wouldn't even attempt it.
You don't want to ding up your baby.
ATV if I do that.
Yeah. You got an ATV?
Yes, sir. I got an SUV and a Pontiac Firebird 2000.
So, this truck driving business is pretty lucrative, huh?
Yeah. And they're all runnable and drivable.
Nice. What do you got Patriots-wise today?
Patriot-wise, I see a lot of free agent-wise, and I agree with Andy.
Me too.
Tavon Wilson and Beckett, I think they're gone. You know, because like, you had 3 years, whatever, and yeah. You ain't proved yet, and... You know, Gregory should be fighting for a spot, and I hope he is a cap casualty. You know him and
well, you can't have both.
Arrington,
you can't have a guy fighting for a spot and being a cap casualty. If he's a cap casualty, he's getting cut in the next month or so.
Right.
If he's fighting for a spot, you got to hold that salary down to August.
No, I'm talking about Tavon. Tavon should have been.
Oh, Tavon is going to be here in August.
Yeah,
he may not be here in September.
Yeah, that's true.
Beckett will not be here in September. At all. There's no chance.
Yeah, I don't think
Wilson plays enough special teams where he could validate himself that
Wilson
way.
Is going to be this year's Jermaine Cunningham.
No idea about
could be. But he's done a lot more than Jermaine Cunningham ever did because he plays special teams. Jermaine Cunningham didn't do poo except that one time where he tried to take credit for James Sanders' interception of Peyton Manning.
Well, would y'all think that Roman Harper or maybe Will Smith might get the team out? But you think the price might be too high?
I'm sure the price... By the way, their price is too high because I went back... You know the contract that John Abraham got?
No.
2 years, $4.6 million. 2 years, $4.6 million. We couldn't go 2 years, $4.6 million. We've been pissing away money to Jonathan Finene and Sean Ellis and these guys for years, and we couldn't go 2 years, $4.6 million.
That's a, your mic's might want to put on. A mic on.
That was kind of my lament.
Well, but I didn't know. I guess I was sort of asleep at the wheel. But 2 years, $4.6 million.
That's
1 million guaranteed.
Wow. That's
and we couldn't. What, we had to give $31 million to the Danny Amendola?
Yeah. Do you think they're asking to reconstruct his contract since he's been Mr. Glass and really haven't proven that much, you know? But I see more drops than more catches, to be honest with you, especially in critical condition.
I mean, yeah, I don't know what they can do, though. He got like two-thirds of his salary for this year is guaranteed. So even those that want to cut him, you're not really gaining anything.
Yeah, not
only do you have the $8 million original, you have the $2 million of guaranteed salary this year. He's not going anywhere, and I don't know that you can restructure anything. It's just you signed a bad deal. You made your bed. You got to lie in it.
Yeah, I see that, but like they ain't the only one that made a bad deal with Aronson. Like I said, that's 36 and 15. That's 52 million. That I would have at least asked back, like I said, 45 back and some change. they wasn't worth it. To be honest with you, they wasn't worth it. I don't know what was Bill smoking or drinking on, but he should have sit back and marinated just a little bit.
Well, it's there. It gets back to the thing we always say. People say they don't spend money. They do spend money, but they think it's okay to waste or have like, you know, bad contracts for $15 million or $20 million because it's not one big bad contract. But if you sign a bunch of bad $20 and $30 million contracts, it's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
You're still burning money. You're still pissing it away.
Yep, instead of getting the right players that you need.
It's all about getting the right players.
In fact, sometimes it's worse because sometimes those big deals are so fraudulent that they're really, you know, $100 million is actually like 22, whereas most of the time, if you give out a $20 million deal, it's closer to actually giving out the full percentage of that deal.
I would argue to Andy's point that Adalys Thomas's contract was better than the one they gave Tully Bantikin when they brought him back.
Is he selling his house?
No. But, you know, obviously, TBC? It was like $30 million in, what did we give TBC? Like 10, 12?
Something like that.
Yeah. You know, it wasn't, you know, they gave a lot more to Thomas, but he played and contributed.
Right.
To me, Tully Bantikin was the epitome of a Jack.
But they're fine
nice
wasting
guy.
$3 million, $4 million. They just can't waste $7 million.
It's okay. They don't look at it that way.
You wasted
$3 million
three times. That's $9 million. You didn't want to waste $7 million for a guy that, by the way, it doesn't have to be a waste. It gets back to my whole trade down thing. You're Bill Belichick. I expect you, if a guy gets $7 million, pick the guy who's worth $7 million. Get the right guy. If you're going to pick 21, I have confidence in you to pick the right 21st pick. I don't need you to pick three times at 35 to 45. I think you're good. I think you know talent. You're a good drafter. Not a very, very good drafter, but a good drafter. You're a good talent evaluator. Have some confidence. Spend some money.
Mike says that he just read something on SI.com by a guy named Doug Farrar. It's a free agency primer on the AFC East. And Farrar says spikes should be the centerpiece of New England's defense over the next few seasons. Does this guy even watch or read football?
See, I love those things because then it allows me to totally disregard all 31 other teams because I know this guy doesn't know what he's talking about, which I don't fault people. I think it's hard to sometimes know everything about every team. But when you say something like that about the team I know about, okay, well, clearly you don't know whether it's puffed or stuffed in any city.
Jevon from Vancouver, haven't heard much consideration towards Justin Tuck. As a free agent, I also feel that there are a few wide receivers in this free agency pool that are going to get one-year prove-it deals from Britt, Macklin, Nix, Cooper. Any idea if Patriots will bite on one of these guys? Sleeper weapons I wouldn't mind adding are LaFell and Ed Dixon.
Yeah, I kind of like LaFell. I think Nix is still a possibility, too.
You didn't hear that.
I like LaFell a little bit, too. I don't like Britt.
I don't
want any part of that one. Nix, I think, fell out of favor with the Giants. I think he knew the handwriting was on the wall. He was leaving. They got off to that bad start. Mm. He really mailed it in last year. But I think he's a talented guy. Dixon, I don't like at all. I like Pitta on the, those two tight ends they took. That was their version of Gronk and Hernandez.
Yeah.
And obviously they got him with, you know, later picks. I liked what they did. I watched Dixon and I think there's something there, but the production never equals the talent. He doesn't make the plays. He doesn't have great hands.
Well, he's kind of like somebody brought this up and asked PFW, is Mercedes Lewis is a tease.
Yeah.
He's had some injuries. He's a freak. I mean, he's like 6'7", I mean, he's this big.
I really liked him.
And he had one good year.
It was Oregon, right, I think.
And UCLA.
Dixon?
Yeah.
Oh, no, no.
I was talking about
Ed Dixon. Ed Dixon was Oregon. Yeah.
Yeah, he was Oregon.
Yeah.
But Mercedes Lewis had one good year. Pre-free agency, had 10 touchdowns, bunch of catches. He's had some injuries. Now, again, he doesn't have a quarterback. I guarantee Brady would love him in the red zone because he's a big, long-armed, you know, target.
Yeah.
But
Are you going to what are you going to trade for him? He's got like an $8 million cap figure. There was some talk that he was going to be cut and that he might be a cap casualty, but I wouldn't rule out a trade. I mean, there's plenty of options if you want to go the trade route too, right? I mean, they like to dabble with trades.
They dabbled in college.
Yeah.
Huh? They dabbled in college.
I thought you said you did.
No.
Connor is from
Thanks,
the
guy.
Czech
it was
Republic.
Post college.
Nope, never.
Connor's from the Czech Republic. 20s. He says
the try at 20s.
Since it's the offseason, I offer these two games. The first is allocate 33 points between offense and defense. What I mean is you can have the best offense, 32 points, meaning you have the worst defense, which is worth 1 point. In other words, the 10th offense equals 23. So in other words, you have to balance the number. Both have to add up to 33. I would like to gauge your importance of both in today's NFL. So if you had a...
I don't know, Mike.
I don't know how you rank them.
I would want my offense to be a little bit better than my defense, but, you know...
Because I like offense.
Well, I think it's more important. I think
60-40?
Yeah, year would obviously, you know, as I've said, I was wrong. This year, Seattle proved that you could win with a defense-dominated team. But I think over the last 4 or 5 years, I think most teams that have contended and won the title have done it with better offense than defense.
What about 17-16? Got a pretty good offense?
Yeah, I want to be a little better than that on offense.
I think I'd go the other way.
You'd want a better defense?
Yeah. I think I'd go like
a 17-16 defense.
Certainly Seattle, no, I think I'd go Seattle like 20-13, 21-12.
In favor of defense?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I wouldn't.
What's 21-12? I don't even know what that means, really. What is my 12? Does that mean I'm really
that
bad
means
on offense?
Your offense is lower.
Your offense would be lower.
12 is lower.
No, but I'm
really bad. Okay, so yeah, that might be a little
close
low.
Close to lower third offense.
Yeah.
But it's not. See, it's not that easy.
It's definitely not easy. No. It's not a bad question.
No, but it's also not easy to come up with. It's not a team thing for me. Like, I want my defense to be better, but I'd really like to have a really good quarterback. I don't have to be in the highest scoring team. I don't have to have the best offense, but I want a quarterback that I can count on when I need him. So, like, if you ask me to break it down by, like, position, I would go higher on quarterback and defense and then lower elsewhere to make up for it. I'm fine having a few Jag receivers and a Jag running, you know, whatever. But I want my quarterback and my defense to be good.
Okay.
Is that a Wolverine shirt you got on? Is that new?
It's like a Dunkin' Donuts.
Dunkin' Donuts.
I don't know, the overshirt.
I've had this for many years.
Is that what you cut wood in?
Many, yes.
This is my
weekend work shirt.
What day is today?
Wait a minute. Wait a
nice
minute.
Lining in there.
Let's get back on that for a second. It's your weekend work shirt.
Yeah.
Today what exactly do you do on the weekend?
Oh, chops wood.
Are you kidding me?
He's got expanse of his backyard.
I have. That's why I'm asking the question.
He's still clearing land for the alpacas. Did that phase pass?
What's that?
The alpacas.
Yeah.
Nikki's alpaca.
You guys are perfect for each other because you both have these like short like bursts of interest in something.
All right, well, you know, and looking at the Seahawks 2012 draft class and the fact that they got a player that plays for them on all six rounds. No, I'm sorry. Not in the fifth. 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7. That's very, very good drafting.
I forgot to mention to you how disappointed I was during the Super Bowl when Turbin had that long run down the left side and could call back.
Yeah.
I was like, the Turbinator! Mm.
Jackson's like, why do you call him that?
I'm trying to find an email that I had read earlier.
Why?
It was interesting. It basically... here it is. This is from Stanley. And he says, many, if not most, Patriots fans are agonizing over getting weapons for Tom Brady before his window closes. We need to quit worrying about Tom Brady's window and start thinking long term about the continued success of the Patriots.
Leave Gronk out of this.
Tom Brady is and always will be the best quarterback, Patriots quarterback ever. However, he has peaked. Since his beating in the 07 Super Bowl and his 08 injury, he's been a little less heroic.
True.
The team is young and capable. Now is the time to think of the future of the team. Tom's value is only going to go down from this point. Houston has the number one pick, and Bill O'Brien is the coach. He might believe his team is good enough to win now with Tom Brady. So I'm saying trade Brady to Houston if they give us their number one and number two this year and number one next year. Draft a quarterback high and let him compete with Ryan Mallett.
I'd do it.
Nobody knows if Mallett can do the job, but no one knows if he can't.
there is a possibility he might assert himself and be the best next the team's next best quarterback. The first round pick could be used for a quarterback. I'm predisposed to Teddy Bridgewater. I think he can come in and play. The reason I focus on this year is that Houston won't likely have the number one pick next year. Tom's value will have decreased either marginally or substantially. I've thought this way since last fall when I became convinced Bridgewater was the next coming. More recently, I heard something from Cold Hard Football Facts on the radio stating that teams with $20 million a year quarterbacks are not winning the Super Bowl. That's true. They win the Super Bowl, and then they become the $20 million quarterback. It's a thought and ought to provoke some conversation. I would appreciate it if you didn't excoriate me too severely.
No, I'd be making the trade. The one difference is I would be drafting Jadeveon Clowney with the number one pick, and then I would probably draft a quarterback, maybe Mettenberger, in the second round.
Well, he thinks that Bridgewater's the guy.
No, I know. Yeah, I don't.
But I like the trade. I got a hot sports take for you, Andy. I would make that trade. I know you're stunned by that.
Well, I do think the one funny part of it is...
You know, Matt Schaub and Matthew Stafford, you know, I was thinking about. So I know you're stunned to find out, yes, I'd take two ones and a two for him now.
The funny thing I like is the fight, the O'Brien and everybody.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The fire between Brady and O'Brien and, you know, now if he traded for him and gave up a ton. Because mm-hmm. I do think you could argue Houston could win right now. That if you put
that
Tom Brady on that
and
team
him, yeah,
and they have a bounce back year...
Yeah.
Now, you better, because if you don't, you F mm-hmm. yourself for a long time,
yeah,
because you traded two ones.
Yep.
Right.
But I would do it if I were the Patriots. That would be a ballsy, though. The one problem.
Contract?
I guess it doesn't. Wouldn't he have like a $32 million acceleration on his contract?
For the Patriots?
I believe so. Yeah.
Maybe.
I think there would be a pretty hefty acceleration, but
32, he's probably making 20, so that's 12. And you're going to have a young quarterback, so you probably could do it financially, too.
Interesting. And I also don't buy the thing. Did Peyton Manning not win the Super Bowl? Did Drew Brees not win the Super Bowl?
Right.
Like, those guys were $20 million quarterbacks. One, they won it, and then they added signed extensions after.
And I also think, like the emailer said, it's sort of disingenuous to say, well, because 1 year the young quarterback who's on his rookie deal won it. I mean, Flacco was a $20 million quarterback. I don't think he's a great quarterback.
He's saying he signed it after.
No, I know, but he turned down like eighteen million
before the season and rolled the dice and got more.
And I think that's what the emailer is saying. Yeah, you can say that he wasn't a $20 million quarterback when he won it. 15 minutes later, he was a $20 million quarterback because he was a free agent. And as Andy said, he could have been that, but he turned it down and he rolled the dice and he won.
Was Aaron Rodgers not making money when he won the Super Bowl?
I mean, whether they were or not, those are $20 million. Eli Manning is a $20 million quarterback. He won it twice. I don't know what he was making when he won it, but he's a $20 million quarterback. I'm pretty sure he was a $100 million quarterback when he won
it. I think he was, too. I think it's another case of Bo Jackson never rushed for 1,000 yards in the NFL. Cold hard football fact.
Right. And
you effing moron. And he never played half a season.
And once you get under Andy's skin, you just mentioned the word Bo Jackson and negativity.
So once the team signs a contract that makes a $20 million quarterback, that's it?
Like,
you can't win anymore?
I would also argue that Russell Wilson, in my opinion, is not a $20 million quarterback.
Right, like, that's the one that fits the profile of what the guy's talking about.
If he gets 20-plus million, I think you're going down the crapper
fast. He's not going to be a $20 million a year.
He's not that good. Colin Kaepernick could have won the Super Bowl this year. He's not a $20 million quarterback in my mind. If you give that to those guys, you're going... But we also have to take into account the other side of that we've talked about. That, yes, if you can find a starting quarterback to make $685,000, it makes the rest of your team so much easier to build.
Sure. If you have a starting quarterback that can play
that's what I mean.
You talk about hitting the
jackpot. I don't want Fad Lewis.
Right.
Although some Patriots fans do.
Mike in South Dakota.
Yeah, there was an SPFW. Why don't we bring in Thad Lewis and maybe he could be the next guy?
What?
I didn't see that one.
Mike in South Dakota.
Did I miss the game in the rain here that he was like throwing the ball over the field? I mean, I know he completed some of them, but.
He's a Thad quarterback.
He was out of the league.
Thad's all, folks.
Mike in South Dakota says, I'm not sure what I'm hearing. I would absolutely take a wide receiver that looked like Edelman. He was catching passes in double coverage, multiple root trees, and then extending the play. Come on, this is incredible we're talking about. I would go $3 million guaranteed with incentives.
Yeah, he won't.
Did incredible have,
exactly.
What did he have, 9 yards a catch?
Something like that.
I mean, what did he just argue that he makes plays, extends plays? And also, by the way, he went down the crapper as a punt returner.
Yeah,
he wasn't as good as a punt returner when he started catching the ball all the time.
And I agree with you on that, Andy.
Yes,
past year,
but I can't pay him
to be my receiver and assume he's going to be a good punt returner when the 1 year he was my receiver, he wasn't that good as a punt returner.
And I think it clearly the workload as a receiver affected
exactly.
him as a punt returner.
But I can't pay him. You know what I mean? If I want him to be a punt returner, he can't be my prime receiver like Fred wants him to be.
And just to illustrate that, you're saying all these great things about Edelman, and then you're asking him to accept half of what you're paying Amendola, $3 million as opposed to $6 million. I mean, listen, there's always a chance. I'm not going to say never.
See, I think he's back.
There are some guys that
I think he is so in the pocket of Tom Brady, and
that's
the team
that's what I'm saying.
That.
I'm not saying that he wouldn't accept that. I don't think he would.
Don Yee.
But
he's like, no, Tom wants you back.
But
so
I think there's
back.
A chance.
We'll give you shares in
like
TB12
Teddy Bruschi,
training.
Who went out there and smelled the roses on free agency and said, you know what? I don't need that stuff. I like it here. Maybe he's one of those guys.
And now he has to keep working post-career because he doesn't have money in the bank.
Ken in Poughkeepsie,
New York. Suppose
you could
look at it that way, Andy. I looked at it as more of a noble gesture, but that's okay.
Ken in Poughkeepsie, do you guys agree with this statement?
No.
Healthy, the Patriots are the best team in the league.
No.
I have thought about it a lot, and I think we are. Although lately we haven't been healthy at all. Also,
neither is anybody else.
Should Gronk change his playing style? He plays reckless, so it doesn't surprise me that he's seemingly always hurt. He needs to be healthy. If not, we suck. Just look at how the last three seasons have ended.
Yes,
I also
no.
don't agree with that. I don't think we suck when we're not healthy. We're still good. Oh, I don't agree with that either. But Fred, I said from day one that he wasn't going to have a long career because of his playing style.
Yes, you did.
His ACL did not tear because of his playing style.
No.
He was a receiver running down the field, and he got hit from the side. If you're not going to do that, if you're just going to go down, then you're not useful as a receiver. That was not related to his playing style at all,
right.
That injury.
Alex in Providence writes in, out of the players, he has a few questions. Number one is, out of the players cut by the Saints today, which one, if any, would you like to be seen signed by the Patriots, or are they all too far over the hill? Somebody get cut by the Saints?
I take Will Smith.
Yeah. Will Smith, lineman?
Because even
defensive,
if he...
Defensive
yeah,
end.
Yeah, defensive end. He's a pass rusher.
Yeah. Pass rusher.
He's also not a bad actor.
Greer, first of all, pretty significant injury. And Roman Harper, I think, is sort of he's a will.
Second question:
very good
after
all
Collins,
around safety, seen better days.
After Collins' strong postseason performance, if you had to bet, who would be a better pro? I know it's early. Who do you think will be better at his respective position, Chandler Jones or Jamie Collins?
Chandler Jones.
That's a good question.
That's a really good one.
Because you got a massive tease from Collins,
yeah.
and a much wider consistent sample from Jones.
Right. Have we seen?
Because you're almost
to their ceiling.
Well, you're almost to the point where you say Chandler Jones is what he is,
yeah.
and he's not going to be elite,
and he's not going to be better than that.
Wow,
no, but it's true.
I know,
did
Paul.
Did I get yelled at for that,
Paul?
Kind of
I know you
statement
wait till
about 2 months ago.
No, I'm the negative one.
No, but didn't I get yelled
no,
at?
No, you
that?
Did not.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't.
No, because you're dismissive.
Fred, did I get yelled at?
You're dismissive because you pretend like all of a sudden he sucks. He's a loose change.
But don't confuse.
Diamonds doesn't pass.
Wait, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
And I'm saying
don't
he's
confuse.
Not going to be elite. There's a difference.
Don't confuse a tonality issue with what I said. You know, maybe you took the tonality of what I said a little bit more. I didn't say it that he was stiff.
You made it out to seem that way.
I thought he was. I don't think he had a big, huge leap in year two last year.
He did.
I think a lot of other people do.
Oh yeah.
I think he
and
was.
Even he expected.
He was a
it.
Little
he
bit
it on this show.
He year was a little was bit one. Better in year two than he was in year one. I think, basically, because he was on the field more. I don't think that
Which
he produced all that much
to
more.
The one sack in seven games down the stretch.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I saw.
But I mean, you're to the point. Whereas,
but that doesn't
Jamie
mean
Collins,
I think he's a stiff.
You're like, wow, if he could ever do that with any consistency, he could be the greatest player ever.
Right.
Do you really think that, though?
That he could be the greatest player ever? I do not believe he could be the greatest player.
I'm almost tempted to go with the Collins.
Because it's what we do.
Yeah, but I still...
The backup quarterback's the most popular
guy
in town.
The guy you haven't seen fail yet is
better. I
still
think Jones is going to be the better NFL player.
I do, too.
And he probably will be. Because, I mean, he's already good.
Right.
He's already right on the borderline cusp of being a Pro Bowl player. Right?
Right.
So...
Yeah.
Those are hard to come by, and you can't just assume one guy who had a flashy performance covering an average tight end and making a couple that is, he's going to take that and catapult it into, you know, J.J. Watt year where he has sacks, interceptions, pass defenses.
Third question, why is everybody yearning for a defensive tackle in the draft or free agency?
That's a great question.
There's no way Vince Wilfork is going to let an Achilles injury end his career, and even if he's not the same player, he would still be effective.
Just as good as Joe Villano is what
plus
the guy
there's
means.
A lot of depth behind him. I even think
be
Chris Jones
that.
And Silver Salinga have some potential.
I love that part of the email because I have seen a lot. I think there was at least one mock draft that had a defensive tackle, and I've seen a lot of ask PFWs. That to me should not be a early. No, but I don't want the early target to be defensive tackle. And I agree with the way he said that too. Assuming you have Vince back and maybe even Tommy Kelly. Now that's a big if, okay? But if you have those two back and you plug all the other guys into the roles that they should have been in, now you're pretty deep at defensive tackle, and throw in, you know, the third best of the group, Armin Armstead.
Oh yes,
yeah. you failed to hit your cue there, Andy.
I don't
have a huge need for defensive tackle. You know how I feel about the position in general. I don't want to.
It's one much of the like 15, running back.
Running back is one of the 15 positions. He only cares about like three
Fred,
guys.
I think so little of
outside
defensive
receivers,
tackle,
quarterbacks, and shutdown corners,
right? And a pass.
And don't forget pass rusher.
He plays 2-on-2 football.
I'm sorry, but you just nailed the blueprint on how to build a very good football team. If you can be very good at some of the other spots, then you win the Super Bowl.
Finally, is tight end the biggest need for this team? The team's success is still predicated on the offense, which is predicated on the passing game, which is predicated on the two tight end control the middle of the field strategy. A new dynamic tight end, such as Jason Morrow, would add a dynamic player who would not only help Gronk, but take the pressure off the new receivers and allow them to improve.
Just hide your credit cards.
Oh, because he's had the problems.
Yeah, he's got the problems.
What was the rest of? I know he caught like 105 passes, Amaro, but you know,
1,300 yards.
Okay,
he had the most yards in the history of the NFL. I mean, the NCAA.
That's good. That's a good amount of yards.
Oh yeah, he's a good player. He had like seven straight 100-yard games or something ridiculous. He had a very good season.
Touchdowns?
He scored some.
He had a few, but then again.
I don't know. Why are you asking me to memorize all his stats right off the top of my head?
Because I just assume that you do the research. You know I'm not.
Well, I do some research, but having it, you know, I'm not Mel Kiper where everything is to memory at this point.
Todd, 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 Todd. Good coffee there?
Yeah. Michelle, who loves it when I call her Shalata, tell me why I should or shouldn't feel excited about Lombardi coming here. On one hand, I like it because I've always felt like he's had some good inside knowledge on the Patriots, plus the obvious connection history with Belichick. On the other hand, didn't he think Mallett was worth a first or second round pick? That's just not right.
Yeah, but he won't be making decisions here. He'll be advising. It might be good. You know, we've talked about the lack of questioners.
Voice.
Mm. Maybe he has the relationship with Bill and a long enough to say, Bill, what are you doing?
Yeah.
He seems like he's a loudmouth. Like, he can't bite his tongue as much as others might. Like, Nick Caserio, his personality is to bite his tongue. Lombardi is a guy that likes to talk, so I could see him, if he's comfortable enough, saying... Plus, if he's collecting 800 grand from the Browns and only 20 from Bill, what are you going to do, fire me? Yeah. I don't need the 20 grand. Yeah. I don't need your logo on my chest to prove that I know football.
And I don't think it can hurt. It may not help, but I don't think it can hurt. You know, what is he going to do? He's not going to have enough power to come in and do anything that... Mm-hmm. You know, is detrimental.
It's actually perfect for somebody like Fred, because if Bill blows this draft, then he can, you know,
he'll blame it on Lombardi.
That was the year Lombardi was here.
Right.
Scott in Huntington Beach, my question is this.
That's actually why Bill
is not Lombardi now.
Bill is a very, very good drafter, because anything that didn't work wasn't his pick. Somebody else did that.
Scott's question, how many other teams out there?
He's unraveled my mystery.
Sorry.
Scott's question is, how many other teams out there would have groomed Julian Edelman into the player he is today?
None of
returner,
them.
Slot guy,
none.
Even stepping up and playing some corner when needed.
None.
Second part, with all of these diversities, don't you feel Belichick will value that and recognize the pure football player, Troy Brown aspect, if you will? And while loyalty might not pay Julian's bills, do you feel he might recognize the opportunity that the Patriots have given him and stick around for a bit less?
I think there's a chance of that, but $3 million is not a bit less.
No, that's... going to be a lot less.
That's a lot less.
I'd give it to him. Wouldn't you?
Three?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes, he wouldn't take
That's
it,
half
Fred.
Of what he's worth.
Would you give him six?
And I don't think
answer the question.
It.
You wouldn't.
Yeah.
He's
and
out.
I, and I wouldn't
well,
give him six.
Well,
that depends
either. On the structure of the deal and how long it is.
Oh, so you want to give him like nothing, and then the 12th year he'll make $12 million.
See, I wouldn't give him a one-year $6 million deal. I would not.
No, Fred doesn't
want to
do
$6
that.
Million.
He wants to give him a three-year $30 million deal in which he makes $1 million, $2
million, and 28 in the last.
And we cut him.
Something along those lines.
God love Fred for his honesty, though. Something along those lines.
By the way, another reason cap is crap, just like little things, like the Broncos don't have a lot of cap room, but Champ Bailey is on the books with a $10 million salary. Boom, gone. They're just going to cut him, and he's gone. And you just open up $10 million in cap room.
Well, yeah, but they were smart to structure it that way, so they could at the end
but
of
they
his
don't,
contract.
But the thing is that they you know, and if they want him
backloaded contract.
And the thing is, if he was productive and they wanted him back, the cap being crap means that they would do that to somebody else that they didn't want, and they could keep him.
I actually don't know how they structured the contract. It's very rare to see a guy that has no dead money, no bonus money, no any money.
Well, he's in the last year, right?
Yeah, but the last year is still a year.
Right.
So if you sign for 5 years...
None of it's guaranteed.
Well,
he had
to get a signing bonus. He had to get something.
Which has been divvied over the life of the deal.
They might have been roster bonuses instead of signing bonuses.
And those are bonuses.
Okay.
But maybe he doesn't have one in this last year.
He does.
Never mind. Just not.
Cal in Chicago.
You know how you said leave after the show? I might just go now.
Just go. It'd be a recreation of the Corey Dillon affair.
Sort of. Except I'm saying I just got
to
go.
Cal in Chicago. Love the show. Lucky to be listening live today. Here are all the Edelman.
I hear all the Edelman talk.
And while I love him, I hope he isn't back.
Oh, Cal Ripken.
He hopes he isn't back?
Is this a he or
I hope he isn't back, is not back. He will carry six wideouts next year and already have five. We will carry six wideouts next year and already have five, Amendola, Boyce, Tompkins, Dobson, Slater. I hope we go out and sign an outside receiver, a veteran red zone target like Bolden, and then draft an athletic tight end who can spend some time in the slot. I think that is better than Edelman and Amendola being on the field together.
Yeah, I don't think the offense is great when Amendola and Edelman are on the field together.
I don't either. I think it's too much of the same thing. Now, the other part of that is the one slight thing. Yeah, all those wide receivers are currently under contract. They're not all locks to make the team. Now, I would say Dobson's a lock to make the team.
Right. Boyce and Tompkins are not
Boyce,
locks.
Boyce, probably a lock, but I wouldn't put him in the 100%.
Fourth-round pick who's a healthy scratch a lock?
Tompkins, Fourth? Same thing. You know, probably will be back. But I wouldn't put him in the lock, stock, and barrel category.
I will be pretty surprised if all three of those are on the active roster.
Yeah, especially if you can get Fred's thing where you can go. I mean, the emailer wants Anquan Bolden. You know, you take a guy like Jacoby Jones or James Jones from Green Bay, Decker from Denver. You know, if they could sign sort of a splashy free agent, for lack of a better word, you know, someone that, you know, a household name.
Yeah.
Then. Yeah, if you do that with a guy that's outside, where Tompkins fit? I mean, you know, I think you very easily could see a scenario that
I think Dobson, even without that,
Dobson to me is a lock.
Yes,
those other guys,
I'll be with Andy.
I'd be surprised if they
all three are on it. That would feel surprising to me.
Yeah,
because now you're saying that four guys, because Slater, your Pro Bowl special,
Slater
is a,
special teamer,
but that ain't happening. Those three guys will not all be on the roster. I'm saying it here.
Hot sports take.
We know about the Emmanuel Sanders.
Plus his injuries.
You know, the interest that they had last year. He had a pretty good year. Maybe they take another run at him.
And they're not going to re-sign him, I saw. I don't know who said that. I just saw it.
Robin in Alaska.
See a lot of
trading
stuff.
Brady would be a huge slap to the face, even for two firsts. The fans would feel it. Brady would feel it. The headline would be the trade heard around the world. We, the fans, think it's crazy the Patriots can't hit on a corner or a safety. Pick a position, and we can rant like Andy about it. Well, wake up, everyone. The Patriots lucked into Brady, and there is no luck in this year's draft.
Ooh, see what luck.
Right.
Yeah.
I see what he did there.
Yeah, but you're facing that no matter what.
Yeah, and we all know, I mean.
Yeah, that guy earlier, was he the guy?
Like, it's a long shot that Brady doesn't. You know, stay. I mean, let's.
Oh, it's 0%.
We know that.
This year, it is 0%.
Yeah, we're just having fun. You know,
it becomes more tradable after
the
offseason, right?
You have to fill 2 hours.
Is that when the three-year, $9 million deal kicks in?
And, you know, and I'm one of those guys, and I know that.
I
know that the Patriots have sort of become famous for not operating this way. I actually think it would be great as a Patriots fan if there's nothing that could happen that would allow them to move Brady. You know?
He retires here.
He dictates when he leaves.
Yeah.
I think that some guys
2017
transcend.
What would happen at TB12?
They transcend your organization. Some guys, and he's one of them. I never want to see them trade. Now I can sit here and say, no, would I trade two ones? And yeah, I would. I would make that deal.
Yeah, but you've been trying to get rid of him for like 5 years.
But if I were the guy making, if I were Robert, no way. If I were Robert
Paul
Kraft,
says he traded for two ones, he means dollar bills.
No, that's Edelman. That's Edelman.
Good friend.
Ba-dum-ba.
I wonder what would happen. If I could get anything of paper with for Edelman, I would take it. What?
TB12, you think that would stay TB12 Training Center?
Yeah. Well, maybe not. It'd probably move with him.
Right.
Kent Liam from Kent.
He's not actually giving the massages and doing any of the work.
No, I know, but it's just awkward, like, to have it here, like,
in the house that he built?
I think you could bring it back. Like, eventually, say he took it to Houston.
Another location.
And then it becomes boom, boom, boom. You could bring another one back.
It has
eventually
to be close to him at first.
To start.
Yeah. Liam from Kent, UK, just to chime in what you guys are saying about the offense, I would agree with Paul that Dobson has some potential to have a breakout year in 2014. We know the production, non-production from Tompkins and Boyce will pretty much be the same. I'd cut Edelman, re-sign Colley as a backup to Amendola, look for an athletic tight end in the draft to mold into a Hernandez-type player, cut Blunt, and bring in a veteran to add to the running back core. I think it's the defensive backfield that needs considerable improvement, possibly in safety, another corner, and a consistent pass rusher. By the way, I'm considering buying the PFW online subscription.
Woo!
Your advertisement says that the subscription is for 30 issues. Does this mean it is issued weekly or fortnightly during the regular season?
Oh, fortnightly.
Is there an issue during the offseason? It is weekly, starting with training camp through the season, and then monthly in the offseason.
And we'll also add that when the Patriots make the playoffs, which is every year,
You
get bonus issues. So it ends up being 30, somewhere between 32, 33, up to 34 issues.
Right.
And
right.
The price does not change.
So the minimum is 30 issues, but you could get as many as 34. Again, it's weekly, starting with training camp at the end of July, and then it goes to monthly in February up until
Speaking
July.
Of which, when is it Fortnite? I need to talk to you about the schedule a little bit. I think we want to make some
adjustments. Yeah, we do have to talk about that because of May.
All of it, yeah. The draft, the pre-draft.
That also affects the pre-draft. I think we should probably
put out a pre-draft issue a month and a half before the draft.
Yeah. We might also want to wait a little bit for the free agency.
We basically need to bump them into the middle of the month.
Yeah.
And now, was he talking about the digital?
Sounded like it.
I don't know.
I hope so. Because fortnightly, he'll be more than how long it takes to get there. I don't even know what a fortnight is. Is that two weeks?
2 weeks.
And don't forget, fans,
what's
Patriots
a score?
Football
20 years.
Daily
20 years.
On the iPad,
four
if you have an iPad.
In 7 years.
So 87 years.
87 years.
Full score.
Jackson's learning about slavery. He comes up because yesterday was, I guess, Abraham Lincoln's birthday. And he said, if we still had slavery, I'd pay my slaves because they deserve the money for doing the job.
the wonderful the innocence of youth. That's just wonderful.
Let's see. Chris
That's
says,
awesome.
Hey, guys, last week Andy stated that this defense is a 4-3 defense. So let's just say that for some reason the Patriots drafted one of the top five pass rushers in the draft. Let's just say they draft a Clowney or someone similar. So if Clowney has an amazing preseason, and it's obvious that he needs
Somebody
to
like
be on
him.
The field at all times amazing because of his talent level, what changes happen to the D-line? Does Ninkovich get benched? Does Jones get benched? Does Jones become a defensive tackle?
Nope.
Or does Ninko become a defensive tackle?
Ninko either is benched or becomes a linebacker.
Or becomes an outside linebacker.
Like he used
been
to many times in his career.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way,
with the boys,
it's, you know, there's so much nickel and dime packages that it's not that big an issue.
I mean, they played a lot of three defensive end.
Yeah, don't get all hung up. Don't get all hung up
tackle,
on that.
So, yeah, don't, yeah.
The question would be if there was a guy that was elite, that was strictly a linebacker, would you change? And I don't know the answer to that.
But, you know, there is something to be said about the way the Seahawks handle their line with the rotation. I mean, that a lot of people said that was one of the keys to their success.
But we're on the extreme other end. That's the problem. You don't necessarily have to go four or five deep. Can we go three deep?
Right.
Can a brother make sure that Chandler Jones doesn't die?
I mean, even if you have a guy that's better than Ninko or Jones and you bring him in, that doesn't mean you don't rotate these guys.
Oh, they would. Exactly, Fred. I don't see any other way to look at it. I take Clowney, by the way.
Tony says, I can't rely on the rookie wide receivers. Didn't know that they were on the field except when they dropped the football. Apart from a couple of games,
that's just
Steelers,
ridiculous.
And too many drops.
That's
too
like
inconsistent.
Paul-like right there.
It really
was
is. That's
still
asinine.
Invisible
at year's end when able to get on the field. So
first of all, they were both hurt late in the year. That's one problem.
And that is a problem, by the way.
Yes, it
is
a
problem. I don't want to dismiss
rookies,
that.
They're Paul. A lot of rookies get hurt.
You're talking a little like Mass now.
They're terrible. I listened to them yesterday talk about like X Games, Olympic sports and stuff. And they did something that neither of them really knows anything about. They still don't argue about. They still have the exact same freaking
gear. I don't understand why you can't have that take and just say, you know what, the X Games sports, I'm not really into them.
Right.
Why they have to be so vicious about
it? And
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. I got to get these guys on the
and
road.
If they need any help, I'll be by.
We will be back next Tuesday. with another off-season edition.
Very pre-combine.
Right?
Tuesday.
Yeah.
Mm.
You guys are leaving on Wednesday, right?
We are.
That is correct.
So Andy and Paul, Grampson,
Mr.
I couldn't think of a good
Mr.
name.
Mr. Draft and Grandpa.
Mr. Yeah, Grandpa. But I wanted to think of something funnier than Mr. Draft.
What was your line this morning? You had something shot.
The bowling ball.
I said if you
mop,
had long hair, it would look like a mop on a bowling ball.
Yeah.
All right. Than we'll see you on next Tuesday.
The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow. Let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll be going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. And the fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbye. But as long as you'd love me so, let it snow and snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.